Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. It is round two of U.S.-Iran nuclear talks. Today's indirect discussions, mediated by Oman, are taking place in Geneva. And President Trump says he believes that Iran is anxious for a deal.
We've been hearing this message from him for some time, that he believes that Iran wants to make a deal, although it is far from clear what a framework would look like for a deal to be agreed, given the complexity of the issues. But the president said, and he didn't elaborate, that he would be indirectly involved in the talks, with tough, as he put it, Iranian negotiators, the second round of talks in Switzerland. He said that they were very important and that, crucially, he didn't think Iran wanted the consequences of not making a deal.
The BBC's Peter Bowes. Three people, including the gunman, are dead following an apparent domestic murder-suicide at a Rhode Island ice rink. Three others hospitalized in critical condition. Pawtucket resident Kevin Hernandez says it's especially upsetting given December's mass shooting at Brown University.
I see this arena when I pass school every day, but my immediate reaction is just heartbreak. It's so devastating, you know, to hear about something so similar happened 2 months ago over at Brown, and now some place that I pass by every day.
He spoke with WJAR-TV. Authorities say they believe the shooting was a targeted attack stemming from a family dispute involving gender identity. California's being walloped by a powerful winter storm, bringing thunderstorms, strong winds, heavy snow in the mountains. A flash flood warning is posted in Los Angeles County. His family says the Reverend Jesse Jackson died this morning. He was 84. On Wall Street, Dow futures down 78 points. NASDAQ futures off 200 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Dennis Prager here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've always been a strong believer in precious metals investment, and I've always been fascinated with rare coin collecting. But owning the wrong coins that only make dealers a lot of money can be catastrophic for your investment portfolio. AmFed Coin and Bullion specializes in taking people out of non-performing coin portfolios and turning them into gold, silver, or platinum bullion. They tailor a portfolio based on your goals and not what they want to sell you. You'll never experience scare tactics, misleading hype, or high-pressure sales from owner Nick Grovich and his very knowledgeable staff. They will evaluate your portfolio, show you how your coins have performed, and take the time to educate you on the ugly industry practices so that you can make an informed decision. Smart people can make very bad investments when they're under pressure and lack the facts. Call 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. AmericanFederal.com.
Good morning. You're on Casey and Company at 6:03. Here's Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes.
Got a big wreck on the Beltway this morning on the top side in Towson. Happened in the 3 o'clock hour with a tractor trailer on its side on the outer loop at the ramp that would take you north on 283. The ramp 283 north is open. The straight ahead lanes right now, it looks like there's only one lane getting by as you're going across the Beltway and eventually to the JFX and over to Green Spring Avenue. So we're backed up right now, tail end of the backup is at York Road. It may go back to Delaney Valley Road now that the heavy traffic is in that area. They have two very large cranes working at the scene right now. They have the vehicle partially uprighted, but it's still going to be a while. So again, that's the outer loop at 83, Capitol Beltway with the wreck now to the shoulder on the outer loop at Connecticut Avenue in Montgomery County. Be prepared for some fog this morning in and around the area. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Big warm-up gets underway today. Mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low 50s. More clouds tonight with temperatures falling back into the upper 30s. Even warmer come Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
34 degrees in White Marsh and 34 in Joppatown. At 6:04, here are the latest headlines. Lines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. Baltimore police are investigating a Monday night shooting that left one dead and three wounded near Mondawmin Mall. The West Baltimore shooting happened at around 9:30 p.m. in the 2400 block of Liberty Heights Avenue. Police Commissioner Richard Worley says officers found two vehicles that crashed into each other in the mall parking lot, and two people were found with gunshot wounds. A third injured victim was found in the 3000 block of Tioga Parkway, and the person who died was found in the 2500 block of Liberty Heights Avenue. Police say they recovered three handguns and a rifle from the crime scenes. And one person is dead after a fiery crash in northeast Baltimore. The accident happened shortly after 8:30 p.m. near Mount Pleasant Park when a driver crashed into a pole near Hillen Road and East Northern Parkway. Police say a second person was injured in the crash and they were taken to a hospital. Last night's winning Maryland Lottery pick three was 264. The pick four, 2393. 605 on Casey and Company. Stein on Sports coming up next.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Hey Baltimore, how does guaranteed income that you cannot outlive sound to you? Great, right? Then call Adam Waske, president of Harford Life Group. He's been helping people get the most out of their finances for over 15 years. Adam will grow your money without risk. Yep, you heard that right. Growth without risk. You can also enjoy an up to 20% cash bonus with no fees. And you heard that right as well. Learn more about Adam Waske. Go to HarfordLifeGroup.com.
Now, Gary Stein on Sports.
605 Sports brought to you by the Comfort Guys. That's Farnan and Dermer, keeping your home warm all winter long. O's concluded day one of full squad workouts in Sarasota yesterday with a new outlook and renewed energy for 2026, but right now without two of their stars. Jackson Holliday joined the club yesterday, 1 week after surgery. The cast is off. He's hopeful to return in mid-April. Third baseman Jordan Westberg, however, behind schedule right now with that oblique. Here's manager Craig Albernaz on Westy.
But then, yeah, I mean, for me, it's just one step at a time, one day at a time with Westy. Like, I don't want him or any of our players that are coming back from injury, not saying anyone is, but in, like, even in the future, like, make sure, like, the main thing is their health.
U.S. women's hockey is on the hunt, meanwhile, in Milano Cortina for a gold.
That was blocked by Shelvin. Puck comes to Megan Keller. Here's Layla Edwards. Edwards scores!
Kenny Albert with the call on NBC. Three goals in a three-minute span. Late in the second was the difference as the Americans blasted the Swedes 5-0 the final, setting up a gold medal showdown with Canada on Thursday. Coming up in 30 minutes, the cuts are coming fast and furious in the NFL. And that is Stein on Sports.
How do you get ready for the change of seasons? Well, it's easy. Call my guys, the Comfort Guys that I trust, Farnan and Dermer. These folks have been keeping homes warm since 1902. You need same-day heating repair or a full system replacement? They've got you covered. 0% financing for 60 months and rebates up to $7,000 off select systems. Tell them Gary told you to call and get a $99 tune-up with no breakdown guarantee. Call 410-367-7777. That's the Comfort Guys that you can trust.
From the home of the Ravens, the Orioles, and the Star-Spangled Banner, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Casey and Company starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. The right choice for Maryland.
Top of the morning to you. Welcome back. This is Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, 99.9 FM in Harford County. The right choice for Maryland's Tuesday, February 17, 2026. Fat Tuesday, as it is known. Mardi Gras day before Ash Wednesday and Lent begins. Coming up on the program here this morning, Montgomery County teacher calls Child Protective Services on TPUSA. The president blaming Potomac poop on our governor. Maggie has just fallen under the desk. But our top story here today, the embattled Department of Human Services Secretary Rafael Lopez becomes the ninth Governor Moore cabinet secretary to leave.
to either be either quit or fired. I have to believe he was fired, but now we're getting some excuse that he is leaving for health reasons. Yeah, he's got a problem with alcohol. We know that, and that's never a good thing. We wish him well on that. So the big question, was he pushed, or did he voluntarily resign? It doesn't really matter. He's out finally. But just last month, and you have to remember the pattern of problems that he had with foster care children, putting him in homes where there were sexual predators and pedophiles, the tragic death of 16-year-old Kanaya Ward as well, and many, many more problems in the DHS as well. And just last month, Governor Moore was defending his embattled secretary, Mackenzie Frost.
We went through this with former Secretary Vincent Schiraldi. You stood by him for months, given all of the concerns. I've asked you about Secretary Lopez before. You have stood by him. If this isn't the breaking point for you to perhaps look at leadership changes when a child died in the state's custody, what is?
Well, I look at the fact that since Secretary Lopez has been there, we've had a 60% decrease in the SNAP error rate. When Secretary Lopez first came on board, Maryland was ranked second in the country in terms of error rates. We had a broken facility and a broken platform. And I told Secretary Lopez that I have very high standards in terms of getting this fixed. And since he has been the secretary, we're now down 60%.
But that doesn't have to do with foster care and the issues within that arena.
No, but I think, but even if you look at the case of what we're talking about with the tragic death of Miss Ward, where, you know, I said what we wanted was accountability, and we did the referral to the local prosecutor, which again, I don't, you know, we don't prosecute. We made the referral to the local prosecutor, but I think there needs to be accountability for her loss of life.
So you can even hear in that clip, he was defending Secretary Lopez, knowing everything that we already knew. This was too little, too late. And I think it was probably the nail in the coffin here, as I think it was just yesterday, he pleaded guilty to the DUI charge in D.C. He had already taken full responsibility when he was charged with driving under the influence earlier this year. He made it official yesterday, pleading guilty in D.C. Superior Court in a deal that could get the charge dismissed a year from now. He wrote, "I have accepted responsibility. I'm accountable for my actions on the advice of counsel. I will not comment further on legal proceedings at this time. I appreciate the support I have received from family, friends, and colleagues." End of quote. So maybe that was the nail in the coffin, pleading guilty. Maybe he went to the governor and said, "I have a problem with alcohol. I need to step down." Maybe the governor said, "You have a problem with alcohol. You need to go." I don't know. You can't fire people for alcoholism. It's considered a disability. So this was probably an overall performance issue. We'll get reaction from Republicans coming up here in just a second. But this is pretty much the pattern that is developing. Governor Moore can't do anything, can't fix anything. President Trump referenced that yesterday on Air Force One. He has got a pattern of now number nine. This is the ninth cabinet secretary to leave either in disgrace or, you know, to get out of Dodge. So this pattern is troubling. This is a lack of leadership on the part of the governor. Can't pick the right people, can't keep the right people, and he keeps the wrong people way too long. 6:13 traffic weather on the threes. Once again with the update, here is the king of all traffic, Lugnuts Johnson.
Big wreck overnight, outer loop right at the ramp here at I-83. Happened in the 3 o'clock hour. Tractor trailer just turned over right there at the ramp. I don't know if you missed the ramp or whatever. Now, here's the deal. The beltway is open. You'll have to stay to the left if you're going straight ahead towards the JFX over to Greenspring Avenue towards Pikesville. If you're getting off the ramp to northbound 83, you can do that. It's going to be a single lane squeeze over there to the right, but there is a backup on the beltway. They're looking at it. There's a lot of equipment there. We're backed up to at least York Road. It's probably going to back up very quickly now back to Delaney Valley Road. So be prepared for it. Very, very slow after York Road. Again, if you're going straight ahead, stay left. If you're taking the ramp to northbound 83, you can do that. Just stay to the right-hand side. If you're going up 83, you might want to exit at York Road, go up to Timonium Road, and then come over towards 83. Very heavy fog in a lot of areas this morning, especially around the Bay Bridge, looking down through there at Sandy Point, then across the main span. A lot of fog in that area. There are now two accidents on the Capitol Beltway. Outer loop at Connecticut Avenue is on the shoulder. In the backup, another wreck occurred on the outer loop at Route 29. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast. The clouds continue today with a high in the low 50s. That's the good news. Overnight, it'll be overcast. Temperatures in the upper 30s. Tomorrow and the rest of the week, we're going to stay in the 50s. We might get some rain possible on Friday and the rest of the weekend, which would be typical, right? Right now, it's cloudy, 34 in the city and 33 in Stevensville. Time for some one-liner news. The U.S. Women's Olympic hockey team has reached the gold medal game. Way to go, ladies. Kind of refreshing to hear about women and ice.
Very
and it's
much
not
so.
About Kristi Noem, all right? Bad Bunny's halftime show has led a 245% increase in web searches for flights to Puerto Rico.
Mm.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but apparently the Trump administration says they don't count as self-deportation flights. Since it's a U.S. territory. The FCC finished its investigation into Bad Bunny's Super Bowl halftime show, found no violations whatsoever that would cause problems. So that means he'll be back next year.
Oh, thank goodness.
As really Bad Bunny.
Next time we get subtitles.
2.0.
Former President Barack Obama is walking back his comments that aliens are real. We played them on the show yesterday. And apparently doesn't want to give Trump any credit for deporting all of them. So, you know, who knows there. Since the start of the year, get this, Florida has gotten more snow than Utah.
Wow.
Been a really strange weather year.
Mm-hmm.
So strange that Governor DeSantis has taken the lifts out of his cowboy boots, put them in his snow boots. Here's your buddy. New GLP-1 side effect, people who use drugs like Ozempic or Wegovy are getting scurvy.
Is that the vitamin C thing?
Yeah, it's the vitamin C deficiency. It can be cured with limes or lemons and oranges. And,
scurvy, lad.
Yeah. And so that,
it does sound insulting.
Didn't see that in the fine print. Yeah, they used to get that on the ships when they were crossing the ocean.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
That's how it came, me hearty.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Sad news, Jesse Jackson. Again, he has passed away now. This is a long time battle with Parkinson's disease. He took over for Martin Luther King. He was actually there the day Dr. King died.
Right.
He was assassinated. That's right. And he took over the civil rights with his Rainbow Push Coalition. He ran for president. Then he unfortunately teamed up with Al Sharpton, and they called themselves the Justice Brothers. A couple things stick out in my mind about Jesse. One was when he sparked a national controversy back in January of 84. He referred to Jews as Heimies in New York City as Heimietown.
Heimietown, yep.
Yep. 1984 comment, he said, that's all Jaime wants to talk about is Israel. Every time you go to Jaimetown, that's all they want to talk about.
And that's then there okay was, for him to do, right?
Yeah. And then there was the other comment he made, which was very controversial, that he said, there's nothing more painful to me at this stage in my life than to walk down the street and hear footsteps and start thinking about robbery than look around and see somebody white and feel relieved.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So that caused a bunch of controversy.
How's that going to work these days?
I've had two favorite actors my entire life. Gene Hackman was one of them. Robert Duvall was the other. Yesterday, Oscar-winning actor and acting legend Robert Duvall passed away. Sunday at his ranch in Virginia, he was 95.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Your father would want to hear this. This is business, not personal.
They shot my father at business.
Even the shooting of your father was business, not personal, Sonny.
Yeah, that was on the
classic
Apocalypse Now. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Remember,
he said it smells like victory. He was in Godfather 1 and Godfather 2, Days of Thunder, Colors, The Great Santini, the miniseries Lonesome Dove. He won an Oscar for Tender Mercies, where he played a country singer. You talk about a wide range
and
of acting ability.
And Falling Down with Michael Douglas.
He was hilarious in Four Christmases. I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Vince Vaughn.
Never saw that.
Oh, that you talk about a funny movie.
Okay, Reese now I got to see it. Never
Reese
saw
Witherspoon,
it.
Vince Vaughn, Robert Duvall in Four Christmases. You will enjoy that. By the way, his first big break, he played the role of Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird. That was how we all got started.
Yeah, right.
He never spoke at all in that movie. Obama walking back the viral claim that aliens are real. We played that clip for you yesterday, and that clip spread like wildfire online. And then he said he was, I was trying to stick with the spirit of the speed round, but since it's gotten attention, let me clarify. Statistically, the universe is so vast, the odds are good there's life out there, but the distances between solar systems are so great, the chances we've been visited by aliens is low. Yeah. And I saw no evidence during my presidency that extraterrestrials made contact with us.
That's not what he said.
That's exactly not what he said. In fact, now we've got the O-Files that is starting to come up here on some TV screens.
Aliens. They're real, but I haven't seen them.
Barack Obama goes in search of extraterrestrials.
They're not being kept at Area 51. That whole story is older than Joe Biden.
Does the government deny knowledge?
The only weird thing I experienced during my administration was when everyone freaked out over my tan suit.
The truth is out there.
You want the truth? The only aliens the government is searching for right now are out in front of Home Depot.
Don't miss the O-Files.
There's no such thing as the O-Files. Although, there is another set of files, but there are no aliens in those. And I'm not in there either.
They're the O-Files. Michelle and Barry. that was a quick turnaround, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
As soon as he said it, I said, oh, no, he's going to have to walk that back.
Yeah, and he did, obviously. All right, Chuck, seeing a couple. Appreciate that. It's coming up on 621 Rescue Natural Supplements. If you're looking for that energy, a lot of people turn to a cup of Joe, maybe two, three, four. And actually, there's some antioxidants in coffee that can be considered good. But it's that the caffeine, the combination of sugar, if you put sugar in it, that's going to lead to, again, a crash later in the day. It's not really healthy. It artificially stimulates your sympathetic nervous system, gets your heart rate up. You're looking for sustainable energy, something that's going to be with you all day and not for 2 to 3 hours. That's Rescue Orasine. It is one of the best sellers in the Rescue Natural supplement line because it's all natural, developed by a cardiologist, helps with that sustainable energy throughout your day, helps to regulate blood pressure. And right now you can buy one, get one free. Use the coupon code MYENERGY, MYENERGY. And you, of course, will buy one, get one free at 1-800-26-ALIVE, or you can order at res-q.com.
Lorian Harmony Hall opened a unique memory care program this year called Harmony Park. Lorian Harmony Park features an indoor setting that looks like an outdoor park space. It is a sensory neighborhood that is meant to offer wayfinding and other unique features to our residents to help them navigate their day. For more information, visit LorianAssistedLiving.com or call 410-531-6000.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
What are your thoughts on Secretary Lopez? Did he quit or was he pushed out by Governor Moore in another desperate attempt to just mine right over the side of the ship there? 623 traffic weather on the threes. Once again with the update, the king of all traffic, Lugnuts Johnson.
Some heavy fog in the area, number one, so be prepared for that, really, on both sides of the bay and even down at the Bay Bridge. So we factor that in. Both the tunnels already this morning, very light yesterday with the holiday. Today already, 895 is backed up to the Erdman Avenue ramp. 95, some brake lights after O'Donnell Street, southbound on 95. Then the big wreck overnight on the outer loop of the Beltway locally at the ramp at I-83. Tractor trailer was on its side. Two heavy-duty cranes are in that area. The ramp to northbound 83 is open. The straight-ahead traffic to the JFX is open, but squeezed down to just one and maybe two lanes right there at the accident scene. Still going to be a while. You'll have brake lights coming over from Delaney Valley Road and two wrecks on the Capitol Beltway, outer loop at 29, outer loop at Connecticut Avenue, both of those in Montgomery County. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 25 Weather Authority forecast, mostly cloudy. The high today in the low 50s. Overnight overcast in the upper 30s. So we are warming up here, at least for the next couple of days. 33 and cloudy in Parkville. 33 in Severn at 624. You're listening to Casey and Company. We're talking about still yet another. Look at the pattern that's been developing here. And now we're in our fourth year of the first term, and hopefully the last term of Governor Tax and Spend War, as we call him, with the embellishments that have plagued his public resume and, his persona. And now, of course, some of the so-called leadership from Vinny Schiraldi to now Secretary Lopez. There have been 9 cabinet secretaries. In fact, Republicans pointing that out in a release from the Senate Republicans yesterday. Here in Maryland, Secretary Lopez becomes the 9th cabinet secretary or equivalent senior official to leave the Moore administration since January of 23, an unprecedented level of turnover in just 3 years. Marylanders are seeing a pattern, says Steve Hershey, the Senate minority leader. When there are persistent management failures, troubled audit findings, operational breakdowns, simply swapping out leadership doesn't fix the problem. The DHS has faced repeated and serious audit concerns, and the General Assembly will not turn a blind eye to those issues just because a resignation has occurred. That's true. Accountability doesn't just come with a resignation. Accountability comes when you then hold the people, just because he leaves the job. I mean, let's face it, a young girl died on his watch. They put foster kids in care and custody of pedophiles and sexual predators. They left 133, 140 kids in a hospital for months on end because they couldn't place them in homes. This is abject failure. It's, in and of itself, it's a form of child abuse.
Sean, I think a couple of things. I think for one, yes, Moore's cabinet is just worse probably than a lot of the other cabinets we've had in the last few years. But I actually think who probably deserves the credit for this or them actually being ousted is probably Fox 45 and any other brave journalist that actually talked about it. Because I'm sorry, most of the media covers for them. They don't ask tough questions. If you watch their stories or if you just watch the press, sometimes you can just watch a press conference raw on YouTube just to see what's going on. And they're the only ones that usually aren't afraid to be, as you affectionately like to say, the turd in the punch bowl, and will ask a tough question. And we've seen officials literally run from some of their reporters. So I think that while they deserve to be outed, I actually wonder if we would have even gotten to this point if it weren't for, like, the constant drumbeating of some. But again, not, I mean, they were being honest. They were asking direct questions. So that's one thing. But I think another thing that you said is important is, eventually, I think they just have to do it. There's just too much public attention, and they have to get rid of somebody. So they'll do it, and then they'll give them some sort of cover, or budgetary reasons, or health reasons, or blah, 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 whatever. And they're moving on. But you're right. Then they hope the problem goes away, and the problem shouldn't, because it doesn't really matter. Whoever Moore appoints next in any of these situations, obviously, he's picking them. So at the end of the day, you know, it's like, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It doesn't matter, because he's only going to pick somebody that is still abiding by his policies and what he wants, or lack of them, maybe we should say. So just like with Vincent Schiraldi, yes, he needed to go and there's a lot of problems, but if you're putting somebody right back in that's going to do what Moore wants, it doesn't fix the problem. But they just want the media circus to go away.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's the ideology that's running the show these days, and whether it's Betsy Fox Tolentino who replaced Vinny Schiraldi, or in this case it's going to be Gloria Brown Burnett, the Deputy Secretary of DHS, it's the same ideology. It's the same groupthink. Now, I'm not going to say that the same personal problems will, befall these two women. But I haven't seen a massive improvement in the DJS, and I doubt we'll see one in the DHS either.
It's just horrific. I mean, there's someone very special in my life who was just in the foster care system here in Maryland just a few years ago. And thankfully, this did not happen to him, but just knowing that he could have been one of those kids and thinking about every other kid that already... how horrible to be in that situation in the first place and then not be taken care of by the state. I can't. That's, to me, the worst of the worst of the crimes.
Another Republican reaction from Delegate Mike Griffith. He's the one that's introduced the Bill Kanaya's law into the session, and he reacted to the firing or quitting of Secretary Lopez.
It's been a very tumultuous time with DHS. There's been a lot of concerns, obviously, from the audit to the audit hearing. To what's happened with the response to Kanaya Ward taking her own life. Hopefully what comes out of this is some renewed accountability and ownership within the department. And then, obviously, making sure that we make some real substantive changes to make sure we're looking out for a variety of issues, but especially the issues we've discussed, which is the foster care system.
Yeah, and look, we've had Delegate Griffith on the air here before, and I just don't think we're going to see a lot of accountability or a new approach, because these are state agencies, and we've had a number of Democrat governors, and even Lockdown Larry. Remember, these audits have been go back into Lockdown Larry's terms when they couldn't get their act together, and this is the bureaucracy of the Leviathan of state government, and there are good state employees, but they get lost in the system. By the way, Best of Casey and Company, available each and every day, WCBM.com, Rumble, Facebook pages, brought to you by the law offices of Michael A. Friedman. Let's get some news headlines. Once again, here's Maggie Hunter.
Thanks. Good morning. Immigration rights advocates held an emergency rally and vigil in Annapolis Monday. The ACLU of Maryland, CASA, the NAACP and other groups gathered at Lawyers Mall to demand that state lawmakers pass policies to end all formal and informal collusion with ICE. Advocates are also calling for the passage of the Community Trust Act, requiring local correctional facilities to have a judicial warrant to detain or keep someone in custody before transferring them to ICE. It would also stop police or correction officers from helping with immigration arrests. Governor Wes Moore could sign a bill that would ban 287G agreements between local law enforcement and ICE as early as today. Delegate Ryan Nowrocki has introduced a bill that would create a statewide inspector general's office. In a statement, he says Marylanders deserve a government that is accountable, transparent, and focused on responsible stewardship of taxpayer dollars. Nowrocki says an independent statewide inspector general would provide the investigative tools necessary to uncover waste, fraud, and abuse, modernize the state's oversight systems, and strengthen public trust. He says the bill creates an independent watchdog to protect taxpayers, not politicians. And three Baltimore County firefighters suffered non-life-threatening injuries battling an apartment building fire in Woodlawn. The fire broke out in the 6300 block of Monica Place Monday afternoon, and when firefighters arrived, they were able to rescue several people who were trapped in the building. Multiple residents have been displaced by the fire, and the Red Cross is assisting them. The injured firefighters were taken to hospitals for treatment. The cause of the fire is under investigation. 6:31 on Casey and Company. Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes coming up next.
I'm Mr. White, professional hypnotist. 410-661-1111. My customers have immediate, noticeable, measurable improvement in quitting tobacco, alcohol, gambling, food, stress, PTSD, healing after surgery, menstrual problems, cysts, headaches, warts, thumb sucking, nail biting, grinding teeth, tics, remembering, taking tests, exams, studying, and more. For sports, golf, tennis, wrestling, baseball, basketball, archery, balance beam. I only help one archer and one balance beam. However, several thousand smokers. It's my two-session specialty. If you want me to help you, 410-661-1111. 410-26-5-1.
6:32 on Casey and Company. Here's Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes.
The big wreck on the Beltway, topside, outer loop at 83. The big wrecker's got the tractor trailer uprighted. That scene has now been cleared. So all the lanes are open now at 83. The backup, though, still working its way through Providence Road, Delaney Valley Road, the York Road. But we're on the move once again with all the lanes open on the outer loop at 83. The rest of the Beltway should begin to fill in now, especially on the west side between Liberty Road, I-70, and Route 40. Some fog there. We're looking live at the Bay Bridge. Fog here at the main span. The visibility is good enough that you can see straight ahead. Not a big problem right now. We'll see if it gets a little bit worse, but there is some fog and some heavy fog advisories in some areas on both sides of the bay. And now there are three different minor accidents on the Capitol Beltway, and they're all on the outer loop between New Hampshire Avenue and over towards Route 29. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Big warm-up gets underway today. Mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low 50s. More clouds tonight with temperatures falling back into the upper 30s. Even warmer come Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
First full squad workout for the Birds yesterday included newcomers Pete Alonso and Taylor Ward. Also included holdovers from a year ago looking for bounce back years. Most notably, right fielder Tyler O'Neill, who when healthy could be one of the game's top power hitters. But when not, we get what we got in 2025.
Like, I didn't pull my weight last year the way I should have, the way I was expected to. And that weighs mostly on me. It weighs heavily on me rather than everyone else. And obviously, there's an expectation there for me personally. But
a healthy O'Neill, along with Alonzo, Ward, and Gunnar Henderson, give the Birds four potential 30-homer bats in the middle of that lineup, a feat first accomplished by the 77 Dodgers and by four other teams since. Meanwhile, new Orioles manager and former Cleveland Guardians associate manager Craig Albernaz expressed that he was, quote-unquote, shocked by the alleged pitch rigging and gambling scandal involving former Guardians pitcher Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz. Albernaz, who worked closely with the pitchers in 2024 and 25, described the situation as a blow to the clubhouse. The O's skipper stated that he could not discuss specifics due to the ongoing nature of the investigation. NFL news, the Dolphins making some room on their salary cap for the upcoming season, releasing two big names yesterday, 8-year veteran receiver Tyreek Hill and rush linebacker Bradley Chubb, who led Miami in sacks in both of his full seasons with the team. Meanwhile, Winter Olympics in Milano Cortina, the U.S. picking up two medals, a gold and a silver, a total of 19 now, third behind Norway and Italy, and the gold medal was quite a story. Call was on NBC Sports, the story of Alana Myers-Taylor of the U.S. women's bobsled team in the monobob, 41 years of age, a mother of two whose career was jeopardized by a series of concussions, now tied with the great Bonnie Blair for most medals by a U.S. woman at the Winter Olympics. And finally, one of the stars of perhaps the best baseball movie ever has passed away. Talking about the great Robert Duvall, probably better known for his roles in the Godfather series, of course, Apocalypse Now, Sling Blade, opposite Billy Bob Thornton, and dozens of films that spanned a 60-year career. But in 1984, Duvall played sports writer Max Mercy, who called balls and strikes when a young Roy Hobbs tried to strike out the whammer.
Now, any ball over the plate or if the whammer swings and misses is a strike, okay? Now, anything outside the strike zone, that means the contest is over and the whammer wins, okay? I'll call him.
One of the great roles, of course, Hobbs striking out the whammer on three pitches. Robert Duvall passed away yesterday at his home in Middleburg, Virginia, at the age of 95. The time now is 6:37 when we return the films that Robert Duvall was in.
Looking for the perfect shooting experience? Come to Free State Gun Range, the friendliest gun range in town. Don't forget to ask about our brand new gold and silver memberships. Enjoy unlimited range time, advanced lane reservations, and exclusive discounts on firearms, accessories, and training. Visit us right now and take advantage of our extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Visit freestategunrange.com or stop by today. Free State Gun Range. Shop, shoot, improve.
I know it's not sports necessarily, but when a guy like Robert Duvall passes away, you've got to take a minute.
You do. It was like when Gene Hackman passed. I mean, these are some of the greatest actors in American history. And I think that these are the guys that the breadth of the roles that he played over his entire career, from Sirius and Godfather and Apocalypse Now, Secondhand Lions. One of our listeners have brought that one up.
Correct.
From Tender Mercies to, which I think is one of his great, it was Four Christmases. He cracked me up in that movie as playing the cantankerous old the father.
First of all, any time you do something for 60 years, that's first of all. He started in 1962. His first role was To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, a non-speaking role.
Role, exactly right. And then, of course, the 2022. So, yeah, not necessarily sports, but you got to take a minute. I mean, some of the he played Frank Burns in MASH in the movie, 1970.
Right.
And yeah, but I mean, just an icon.
Yeah, I enjoyed every movie he was ever in. I really did.
He's one of those guys, just when he's in the movie, I'm going to try to see it.
It's a throwback. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't see these kinds of actors anymore, like Gene Hackman and Robert Duvall. So, rest in peace, and thanks for all the entertainment over the years.
And there you have it.
Thanks, Gary. 6:39, 21 minutes now before the hour of 7 o'clock. Well, we now have what is being called the poop wars here in Maryland. If you don't know, And you probably won't, because if you're in the Baltimore metro, you may not know that much about what's happening in the D.C. area. But since January 19th, I think it was. I have to look at the exact date. Yeah, January 19th. Hundreds of millions of gallons of raw sewage has been pumped or dumped into the Potomac River. And the sewage spill is in Montgomery County, which is Cabin John area, for those that are familiar with that, just north of D.C. And again, nearly 300 million gallons of sewage have been discharged into the river. D.C. officials still do not have a handle on the crisis. It is killing wildlife. It is ruining plans for recreation on the river as we are going to be moving into springtime. It is, according to the president, he says it is clear local authorities cannot adequately handle this calamity. Therefore, I am directing federal authorities to immediately provide all necessary management, direction, and coordination to protect the Potomac, the water supply in the capital region, and our treasured national resources in our nation's capital city. While state and local authorities have failed to request needed emergency help, I cannot allow incompetent local leadership, in air quotes, to turn the river into the heart of Washington into a disaster zone. Trump highlighted the sewage spill and then slammed Governor Wes Moore for his, quote, gross mismanagement of the situation, along with this is the same governor who cannot rebuild a bridge, end of quote. And he compared it to the Palisades fire out in California. Same kind of lack of leadership by Gavin Newsom. And this, can you imagine? Hundreds of millions of gallons of E. coli contaminated. And basically, it's something called the Potomac Interceptor. It takes wastewater from Dulles Airport and trucks it or pipes it through Maryland eventually, where it gets treated into the D.C. water. And the D.C. water system is in charge of the filtration. But again, this goes to the infrastructure, the crumbling infrastructure that we have in our country today. Well, remember, didn't some a former Democrat president pass an infrastructure bill? Oh, that's right. That was Chairman Joe, but it was actually a green energy bill. It wasn't an infrastructure bill. We're not fixing our infrastructure, our roads, our bridges. Vis-a-vis, I understand the Key Bridge got, ran into, but we should have been able to secure that bridge just as we should be able to. And there was a warning, like a couple of months ago, that the Potomac Interceptor, the pipeline as it's known, was showing signs of deterioration already. And so where, again, now they're playing ping pong on this one. Because Trump is saying that it was the governor showing gross mismanagement. The governor's office issued a statement yesterday saying, quote, the president has his facts wrong again. Since the last century, the federal government has been responsible for the Potomac Interceptor, which is the origin of the sewage leak. For the last 4 weeks, the Trump administration has failed to act, shirking its responsibility, putting people's health at risk. Notably, the president's own EPA explicitly refused to participate in a major legislative hearing about the cleanup last Friday. Apparently, the Trump administration hadn't gotten the memo that they're actually supposed to be in charge here. And so on. So the Potomac isn't a talking point, said Moore spokesperson. The people of the region deserve serious leadership that meets the moment. They're calling this the worst and largest sewage spill in United States history. Can you imagine? 300 million gallons. And again, look, this happened in Maryland. Okay, you would think the Maryland Emergency Management Agency would be the Maryland Department of Environment would be on the scene. That they would have some. They're still not going to be able to fix this thing for 4 to 6 weeks. So they are trying to divert some of the wastewater through using other pumps and everything like that. But what we're seeing here is this red line to nowhere, green energy agenda, all this other stuff that is sucking up the tax dollars and the attention of people like Wes Moore and the Democrats, when real infrastructure, you know, not the red line, not this other stuff, Key Bridge, Potomac Interceptor, and other bridges as well, that need immediate attention. And that's the pattern, I think, that is disturbing in what President Trump sees as well. 6:43, traffic weather on the threes. Now with the update, the king of all traffic is here, Lugnuts Johnson.
Now known as the Putomac.
Yes, the Poop-tomac.
Let's go downstream. Well, maybe I better go upstream.
Yeah.
Way upstream, like West Virginia somewhere. Both the tunnels now, 20 to 25 minute delays. Welcome back. Yesterday was light. Today we're jammed and we're dealing with fog as well. 95 backed up beyond the Eastern Avenue Bridge. That's working its way back towards Moravia Road. 895 is not quite back to Pulaski Highway, but it's not going to be long. And all of this is just the normal heavy traffic coming back to work, back to school today, and then moving eventually through the area. Looking at the interchange at 95 and Russell Street 395, everybody's open there. The sky ramp coming into the convention center looks good. Beltway on the north side, nice recovery now. Big wreck early this morning on the outer loop at 83. That's gone. We're picking up the morning backups now on the outer loop at Hartford Road. The west side is already jammed from 795 all the way down the hill towards Frederick Road. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 45, the Weather Authority forecast. Mostly cloudy today, low 50s. Overcast again tonight with the temperatures in the upper 30s. Right now it is mostly cloudy, 34 in Ocean City, and it is 33 in Reisterstown. Time to head out the Chuck Wagon for the latest items trending in the food and beverage world. Public service for our listeners in the name of Bubba Johnson.
Time to make the donuts.
All right, a six-year-old girl in Pittsburgh named Pim has sold over 100,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies this year, the most ever sold in a single season in Girl Scout history. Here's Pim and her dad talking about her success.
Hi, my name is Pim. Do you want to buy some Girl Scout cookies?
Being somewhere now that she is loved and wanted, it just makes us so happy.
And how many Girl Scout cookies are you trying to sell?
10,000.
We got asked along the way, well, haven't you sold enough boxes? My favorite response was, do you think they told Michael Phelps that he swam enough laps?
Well, by the way, Pim is a special needs child, and one troop leader turned her away, telling her her disabilities would hold the troop back.
No.
That person ought to be immediately removed from the Girl Scouts.
Yes.
Should have been ass-whipped.
100,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. I haven't seen any Girl Scout cookies. Normally they're up at the supermarket.
I haven't seen them. I saw, yeah. Okay. Well, the Girl Scouts were out selling it in the pouring
rain. Oh, they're out selling? Okay.
The whole sales technique.
I have not seen any Girl Scouts selling cookies this year. Crumbl, speaking of cookies, is making the new Biscoff Skillet Cookie. That's going to be available now through the 21st. It is warm, lightly spiced Biscoff cookie topped with a scoop of mousse, crumbled Biscoff pieces, and a drizzle of melty Biscoff cookie butter.
Oh, a drizzle.
Yeah.
Yikes. Very nice. Drizzle, drazzle. Stuff.
Their cookies are delicious. They're
drazzle
also
drone.
$5 a cookie.
Tell that goofball it's time to go home.
Yeah. Popeyes is bringing back four fan favorites for springtime, plus new dry rub flavors fans haven't seen before. So if you're interested, head over to Popeyes. They have the flounder fish sandwich.
Oh.
Yeah. Hand-battered Alaska flounder filet marinated at Popeyes signature herb blend. Yeah, classic or spicy there. The butterfly shrimp tackle box. 8 pieces of butterfly shrimp, again with Popeye's signature herb blend. Surf and turf, 4 pieces of butterfly shrimp, 2 chicken tenders, a regular side of biscuit, and of course they got the fried pickles going on there as well at Popeye's.
They are good.
Yeah, fried pickles are really good. They enjoy them. All right, so that's making me hungry all of a sudden. All right, Chuck, seeing a couple, appreciate
that. Don't
look
in the mirror, you'll get set up.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he sneaks that shot in, right? It's a parting shot, right as he's signing off.
A quickie bird.
He thinks
bird.
He tries to slide it under the radar.
For okay. The opportunity, Mr.
Yes,
Casey.
Yes, you do. You have 3 hours of opportunity.
I don't normally have much to say on the show.
And every day. Okay. Oh, okay. You normally don't have much to say. I think if we were track the time, you'd be right up there, number two.
You think?
Yeah.
Hmm. I guess by the time I put them all together.
Yeah, put them all together.
And how many I've done.
Yeah, over the years.
Exactly. 57 years this year.
Some people might say you've taken up an inordinate amount of time.
I wonder if Guinness would have that as a world record for the most traffic reports ever done.
You know, we'll have to look it up.
Hey!
We will look it up.
There's a category
nobody
for everything.
Be able to touch that, I can tell you that.
Yeah. How many do you estimate you've done in your career?
I kind of figured it out one day just all the way back in the Metro days when we were doing like 14 an hour.
Right.
And 7 or 5 days a week. I mean, it was way over a million at that point.
Wow. That pales in comparison. I figured out I've done 10,000 radio shows in my career.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's that's a 3 hour show versus you're doing sometimes
right
four,
now
five, 6 minutes, 6 reports an hour.
All my stations combined right now, I'm doing 62 each morning.
Right, and they're all actually you. They're not an AI clone version of you.
Exactly.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. No, I'm
we
not
do
AI.
It real.
Yeah. Are you going to leave your voice for the AI for the future? So there
Have you heard something?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I'm just worried for a minute. Yeah, I'm going to leave my voice. Well, it'll be something unique.
Every once in a while, when Debbie gets really angry, but other than that, no, I have not heard anything. I'd see in a couple. Appreciate that. Gene is in Northeast Maryland. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, peoples. How you doing?
We're fine, sir. Thank you.
I just wanted to add a couple things, Maggie. I love your laugh. I just love it. It just cracks me up.
Oh, thank you. Jeez, there goes my voice. I'm already... Thank
well, it says
you
here, Gene,
much.
You were calling about the sewage spill, and some of you, you segue to Maggie. I'm not sure if that...
Bless his heart.
Don't put me in that bus. And, we were in... when I was in the Navy, 74, 78, if we were in a foreign country, we would pump our sewage into a barge, and they would take it away and dispose of it for us. But if something happened where something got awry, they would, you know, and you would have a little sewage get into the water. The liquid was liquid, but the solids were called sea pickles.
Oh, no.
And a fair barometer.
I'm afraid we just ruined breakfast for thousands of people.
Next time in an ocean city, look out, it's a sea pickle.
Yeah, and a really, really good barometer to see if there is really raw sewage in the Potomac for sure, you have to send Baltimore's mayor, because he will get in that water and tell you it's safe to drink or
go for a swim.
Whatever.
So true. Very good, Gene. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate
Thanks,
that. 6:50, you're listening to Casey and Company. Coming up next, a Montgomery County teacher calls Child Protective Services on Turning Point USA.
Hey guys, it's Rob Carson. If your kitchen or bath is ready for an upgrade, it's time to call the experts at John Hagee Remodeling. Choose chic cabinet refacing for a brand new look without the time, mess, and cost of custom remodeling, or let their design experts plan your complete kitchen or bath remodel. Either way, you get award-winning craftsmanship and customer service. See some of their amazing work at johnhagee.com. That's John, H-E-A-G-Y.com. Or stop by their showroom on York Road in Hunt Valley. Call John Hagee Remodeling today.
If you're taking a closer look at your financial future, now is the time to talk with someone you trust. Own a business and want to understand your valuation or start planning an exit strategy? Maybe you want a fresh set of eyes on your investment portfolio. That's where Tim Herb, financial advisor at RBC Wealth Management, comes in. Tim explains things clearly, helps you build a plan, giving you confidence and moving forward. Connect with Tim Herb, RBC Wealth Management. Take the next step toward a more secure financial future.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Registered investment advisor and member NYSE FINRA SIPC.
Do you own a business? Do you want to attract new customers to your business? WCBM can help take your business to new heights with a comprehensive advertising campaign with our station. At WCBM, we can design an effective advertising campaign utilizing radio ads, digital ads, and social media. Your account executive at WCBM is an expert in creating a customized campaign that will deliver results. Visit WCBM.com or call to get started on your advertising campaign today.
At the top of the hour, we'll keep you on top of the news on Talk Radio, WCBM AM 680 and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Coming up at the top of the hour here on Casey and Company, Governor Moore is under bipartisan fire. As you might imagine, the Republicans are not happy with him, but Politico has an article today saying the Maryland Democrats are sabotaging his presidential ambitions. Another tragic trans shooting has occurred, this time in Rhode Island. We'll talk about that. Also, Pat Dyer, he's a Republican running for Baltimore County Executive. He's going to join us at the top of 8 o'clock hour this morning to talk about the emergency meeting that Kathy Stelfmeyer has called to try to prevent ICE from either building or leasing or purchasing a building in Hunt Valley. So stay tuned for that. 6:53 traffic and weather on the threes once again with the update. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Lug Nuts Johnson.
I thought you were going to talk about the sea pickles. I've been around a long time. That's one I've never heard.
In your case, it might be a sea cucumber.
That's nice. There's no sense of getting personal, Mr. Casey. Oh, my. Don, one of our listeners in Brooklyn this morning, not New York, Brooklyn in the city, ran across a wreck. Patapsco Avenue, Poteet Street, they're in the process of clearing it, but it had the intersection blocked. So thank you, Don, for that good heads up right through there. Heavy fog in some of the areas, factor in the extra time. They're actually doing some work. We haven't talked about this for a while. Contractor is in there again, northbound 95 at Route 24 in Harford County, blocking the right lane. Some reason the cameras are up in that area now do not work any longer. So I don't know if it's because of the construction or they just turned them off, whatever the case may be. Beltway, yep, you're backed up and in the fog. The normal delays, 15 to 20-minute delays, maybe a little bit longer now, southbound at both the harbor tunnels. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 25 Weather Authority forecast. It is going to be cloudy and low 50s today. Right now, it is cloudy, 33 in Pikesville, 33 in Ellicott City. And you can join us here 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680. You can email us, am680wcbm.com. Text into the show using the free WCBM mobile app, as Mark has done. He says, it's really sad that local leaders are so inept, they can't handle emergencies in their own neighborhoods. So Trump has to take matters into his own hands. Good thing he isn't busy or anything. These stupid Democrats are always fighting for the environment. Where are they on this? They're all stupid and incapable of managing a porta potty. That's probably true. This went viral over the weekend. A woman, a nosy leftist community leader in Calvert County, Maryland, who actually is a Montgomery County public health nurse. Her name is Nancy Krause. She spoke at a Calvert County Board of Ed meeting. And let me set this up by saying that TPUSA was meeting in Calvert County, and a student who spoke before Nancy Krause said that his group placed restrictions on the meeting after receiving a lot of hatred and threats online. TPUSA included barring access for adults they didn't know who were not volunteers or parents of the attendees. All students who attended had parental permission. As of this moment, no action has been taken against Nancy Krause for her outrageous move. And listen to what she testified to and said in Calvert County School Board of Education.
In December of 2025, Turning Point USA hosted an event marketed to high school students with food and beverages advertised as an incentive for attendance. While community building opportunities for students are important, this event raises serious concerns related to student safety, parental rights, and governance oversight. Event materials indicated that adults, including parents and legal guardians, were not permitted to attend and that supervision would be provided by unnamed volunteers. Excluding parents and guardians from a student-focused event creates a lack of transparency and undermines established best practices for youth safety. School-affiliated or school-adjacent activities should adhere to clear supervision standards, background check requirements, and defined accountability structures. I am also concerned about a potential conflict of interest involving Board of Education members serving as guest speakers at this event. Board members are entrusted with fiduciary and ethical responsibilities and participation in events targeting students, particularly when parental access is restricted, warrants careful review to ensure compliance with district policies, ethics guidelines, and public trust obligations. Students are widely recognized as vulnerable population. They are in critical developmental stages and especially susceptible to influence. For this reason, safeguarding measures, parental involvement, and transparency are essential. All Board of Education members in this room are mandated reporters under state law, as I am. Based on the circumstances surrounding this event, a report was made to Child Protective Services.
So she ratted out TPUSA to Child Protective Services because they were having a meeting to discuss their club, their values. And again, this, Krause actually labeled this abuse because she views normal conservative ideas as inherently harmful. This is a level of fanaticism that used to be fringe. We're seeing it more and more commonplace among the Democrat Party. All too common on the left. So let's be clear. This isn't about protecting children. This is about silencing conservative voices. And her name again is Nancy Krause, Montgomery County public health nurse, in case you're interested. 659 Vinny Steele is your Home Sold Guarantee Realty Company. Vinny and his company guarantee the sale of your home because they have a database of 13,000 buyers ready, willing, and able to purchase your home. And it doesn't languish on the market. We had, I think it was a couple of years ago, somebody's house was on the market for a full year. It wasn't uncommon to have somebody have their house on the market for months. When you list with Vinny, when you sign the contract, when you agree on price and time frame, then your house is sold. And it's usually in a matter of minutes, hours, maybe a day or two. But it's certainly not going to languish on the market for weeks, months, and up to a full year. Call Vinny today, 410-709-7515. That's 410-709-7515. Or log on to VinnySteele.com. Make sure you told him I told you to call. That's Vinny Steele, your Home Sold Guarantee Realty Company. Coming up next, Governor Tax and Spend More is now under bipartisan fire.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. Amrit Thomason. Over 3,000 Christian broadcasters from 40 countries will gather today in Nashville to kick off of the 85th annual convention of the National Religious Broadcasters Association. NRB President Troy Miller says NRB 2026 has a jam-packed agenda of important topics.
This is the largest gathering of Christian communicators that will happen really here in North America and around the world. This conference is it's jam-packed, so we'll be doing a number of things. We have over 140 speakers that will be covering every topic that's near and dear to the heart of a Christian communicator, as well as all the things that are going on legislatively or in the regulatory environments, partnering in ministry. It's just a great time.
The National Religious Broadcasters 2026 conference opens today. We'll continue all this week in Nashville, Tennessee. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is dead. His family says he died peacefully this morning. Jesse Jackson was 84. U.S. and Iranian negotiators holding another round of indirect talks over Iran's nuclear program. They are playing the blame game over a serious public health threat just outside the nation's capital.
The collapse of a major sewer pipe in the D.C. suburbs of Montgomery County, Maryland, has caused an overflow of more than 240 million gallons of wastewater into the Potomac River. On Monday, President Trump accused Maryland's Democratic governor of mismanagement and directed the federal government to step in. But the governor's office pushed back and said the leak is the federal government's responsibility. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Investigators say a shooting at a Rhode Island ice rink was a murder-suicide stemming from a family dispute involving gender identity. The gunman and two others are dead, three others in critical condition. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow futures are down 62 points, NASDAQ futures off 180 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and it stressed me out. But what I thought was a solution turned out to be a problem. I kept hearing ads about debt settlement that seemed too good to be true. And actually, it was. When I called, they told me to stop paying my bills. That didn't sound right to me at all, so I hung up. Later, I found out that debt settlement is bad, real bad. Then I learned that there is a right way to pay off your credit cards. It's called a debt management program from the great team at Trinity. Trinity had a plan. In the end, I paid off my bills, I saved thousands, and I even improved my credit score.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Heather. Please forget debt settlement and remember Trinity Debt Management.
1-800-990-6976.
Good morning. You're on Casey and Company at 7:03. Here's Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes.
Looks like a minor wreck on the shoulder in Rosedale, 95 southbound right after the bridge at Chesico Avenue. So the state police are there. It's off to the right side. Not a big deal right now. Right after that, we start to back up southbound at both the Harbor Tunnels. 95 now at Moravia Road, 895 now backs up at Moravia Road. 30-minute delays now for the traffic going in to both the Harbor Tunnels, and we're gone back to just the regular normal delays now after the holiday yesterday. 30-minute delays on the southbound side. JFX still okay after Ruxton Road. Beltway with the normal slowdowns now. The Parkville side, the inner loop through Pikesville, 795 to Frederick Road down the west side. And in the meantime, at one point about an hour ago, we had three different minor accidents on the Capitol Beltway after New Hampshire Avenue. There is slowing on 95 and it's backing up near the ramp southbound at Route 32. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Big warm-up gets underway today. Mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low 50s. More clouds tonight with temperatures falling back into the upper 30s. Even warmer come Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
37 degrees in Owings Mills and 34 in Pasadena. At 7:04, here are the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Audiology Associates. Police are investigating a Monday night shooting that left one dead and three wounded near Mondawmin Mall. The West Baltimore shooting happened at around 9:30 in the 2400 block of Liberty Heights Avenue. Richard Worley says officers found two vehicles that crashed into each other in the mall parking lot, and two people were found with gunshot wounds. A third injured victim was found in the 3000 block of Tioga Parkway, and the person who died was found in the 2500 block of Liberty Heights Avenue. Police say they recovered three handguns and a rifle from the crime scenes. And one person is dead after a fiery crash in northeast Baltimore. The accident happened shortly after 8:30 p.m. near Mount Pleasant Park when a driver crashed into a pole near Hillen Road and East Northern Parkway. Police say a second person was injured in the crash and they were taken to a hospital. Last night's winning Maryland Lottery pick three was 264. The pick four was 2393. 705 on Casey and Company. Stein on Sports coming up next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Sego, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. I would like to talk to you today about balance problems, also known as dizziness. One out of every 10 patients who visits their family doctor complains about dizziness. 25% of the time, balance problems are related to the ear. At Audiology Associates, we can not only diagnose the cause of your balance problems, but if it is appropriate, we can also provide a treatment plan. You need not be bothered by dizziness anymore. So call our main number at 410-944-3100 or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans. So call 410-944-3100. Audiology Associates. When silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on Sports.
705 Sports brought to you by the Comfort Guys. That's Farnan and Dermer, keeping your home warm all winter long. So what drew the Orioles to right-hand pitcher Chris Bassitt in the first place, and what can they expect of him moving forward? Good friend and former Blue Jay Kevin Pillar gives us some insight on the Glenn Clark Radio Show on PressBox.com.
So this is a guy who's very durable. He's a guy who takes the ball every fifth day. Does he have the ace stuff? No. But he has command of 5, 6, 7, 8 pitches.
Bassitt, over the last five seasons, eighth among all pitchers in innings pitched and games started. Quite a sports night for the Heisey family last night. If you're not familiar, brother Nate Heisey hit a critical three-pointer for Iowa State last night as the sixth-ranked Cyclones upset number two Houston 70-67 in Ames, Iowa. This coming just hours after his sister, Taylor Heisey, did this at the Winter Olympics in Milano Cortina.
And now a 2-on-1 for Team USA. The pass across.
Kenny Albert with the call on NBC as the U.S. romped over Sweden to make the final versus Canada. Taylor Heisey, the older sister of Nate Heisey, 25 years of age. Nate is 23. And sad news to report from the NFL, Trey Johnson, the former standout Redskins offensive lineman who went on to become a Maryland high school history teacher, passed away on Sunday. Johnson's wife Irene said he died during a family trip unexpectedly, leaving behind four children. No specific cause of death was immediately released. The two-time Pro Bowler played nine seasons in the NFL, eight for Washington, and Johnson became a history teacher at the Landon School in Bethesda after his retirement. Trey Johnson was 54 years of age. Coming up in 30 minutes, a major change coming to MLB TV broadcasts this season. And that is Stein on Sports.
Did you know Farnan and Dermer are HVAC pros? Being Maryland's oldest and best, they're family-owned and operated since 1902. Winter cold doesn't stand a chance. So if it's time for a new heating system, they make it easy. 0% financing up to 60 months, plus rebates up to $7,000. And don't forget that tax credit, $2,000 you get. But it goes away at the end of this year. Call 410-367-7777. That's Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys that you can trust.
From Bel Air to Glen Burnie to Fort McHenry and the Star-Spangled Banner, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Welcome back. This is Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680. Those are the numbers you can call to comment, contribute here to the program this morning on Casey and Company. You can also email us at am680@WCBM.com. Text in the show using the free WCBM mobile app. Our executive producer is Kristen Hager. Coming up in this hour, Baltimore County grad rates plummet now to a 14-year low. They're getting more money. There are less teachers. What's wrong with this picture? Another tragic trans shooting. The latest on the Epstein files. Also, our top story here, Governor Moore now under bipartisan fire. We'll start with the Republicans. And of course, this all goes to this pre-taped town hall meeting in Cambridge Sunday night that was hosted by CBS's Norah O'Donnell, in which he talked about President Trump, former Chairman Joe Biden, immigration, Epstein, and then whether or not he was running in 28, which he said he was not going to do. Delegate Kathy Shalega, as a member of the Freedom Caucus in Maryland, she criticized his town hall appearance as being nothing more than political theater.
The town hall was political theater. It was staged, lots of sound bites, and it just looked like Wes Moore was auditioning for president or vice president.
And what does it seem like to you where the governor's kind of priorities are?
Well, he got softball questions. No one asked him about his failure to hold someone accountable for the death of a foster care child. And CBS News has failed to even ask those most basic questions.
Now, she recorded that interview yesterday with Fox 45, just, I guess, moments before Secretary Lopez, the you-know-what, hit the fan, and he was fired or resigned, whatever the case may be, reported on that last hour. But she went on to say that CBS, you had to go 35, 40 minutes into the show before any local issues, Maryland issues, were discussed, and they happened to be revolving around the governor's energy crisis.
So Wes Moore was not held accountable for his failures, his audits, people leaving our state, and becoming the most expensive state to live in the country.
Yeah, highest utility rates in the country. We are number six on out-migration, people leaving the state. Worst state to begin running a business. By the way, you can go to WCBM.com. We have our Save Our State petition. You can read all about it and sign it. Maryland desperately needs a change. Enough is enough. We're sending out an SOS, so go to WCBM.com and sign our petition. Share it on your social media pages as well. But Shalega wraps up by saying, Governor Moore's slogan is leave no one behind, but there are a whole host of people here living in Maryland that are being left behind.
We know that he's auditioning for president, and he's leaving every Marylander behind.
Yeah, and that he would join Lockdown Larry and Marty the Musician in that as well. Those guys had presidential ambitions. They had stars in their eyes. And Maryland suffered as a result. And this is bipartisan. This is Democrat and Republican, whether it be Moore, Hogan, or O'Malley. They could taste being president so bad. And, of course, none of them were that successful. We'll get to the Democrat criticism here in just a second. And his comment about working with judges is now being, the timing of that is being questioned because there's a $147 million contract to renovate or build a new Supreme Court, Maryland Supreme Court building. And that is, people are going, there might be something here. 713 traffic and weather on the threes. Once again, the update with the king of all traffic, Chuck the Body Whitaker.
Looks like there's been a wreck and may have cleared already on the Severn River Bridge.
on the westbound side of Route 50. The report came in between the last report and this one, and we got down there very quickly. It looks like we're moving again with all three lanes open on the bridge. And I checked over towards Rowe Boulevard, and I don't see anything there. Doesn't mean that they haven't moved off to the shoulder before that. But for right now, looking at the live shot here at the bridge on the westbound side, three lanes are moving. It's not stopped right now, but it backed up very quickly back towards Whitehall Road. So we'll see if it continues to clear out, and eventually all this traffic has to go over and then pick up the ramp at I-97. Also, keep in mind, in this area, there's some very heavy fog, but it looks like right now that the wreck on the bridge westbound has cleared. If you're in Rosedale, there's an accident on the right side, 95 southbound near the bridge at Chesico Avenue. Up ahead, you have 30-minute delays now southbound on the approaches to both the harbor tunnels. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 35 Weather Authority forecast. It is mostly cloudy today and a high in the low 50s. And right now it is, pretty much a cloudy morning to start the day. 33 in Columbia, 33 in Owings Mills. Time for our MAGA movement update.
America's momentum is back. Our spirit is back. Our pride is back. Our confidence is back. And the American dream is surging bigger and better than ever before.
People are still talking about Marco Rubio's speech heard around the world all week long. We're excerpting some of the quotes I think are the most important for you to hear, but you can see the whole speech yourself. It's only 20 minutes. It's online. It's available. But I think what he's done here is he's broken this 50-year model of the of the British calling the shots, the European Union calling the shots, NATO, which is really us. But all these, the globalists, basically relying on U.S. defense so they can experiment with their Scandinavian style socialism and the mass migration, which is managing the decline of Western civilization. It was very refreshing to see. But he did it with, kind of a smile on his face, disarming wit, and was pretty surgical in his approach.
Under President Trump, the United States of America will once again take on the task of renewal and restoration, driven by a vision of a future as proud, as sovereign, and as vital as our civilization's past. And while we are prepared, if necessary, to do this alone, it is our preference and it is our hope to do this together with you, our friends here in Europe. For the United States and Europe, we belong together. America was founded 250 years ago, but the roots began here on this continent long before. The men who settled and built the nation of my birth arrived on our shores carrying the memories and the traditions and the Christian faith of their ancestors as a sacred inheritance, an unbreakable link between the old world and the new. We are part of one civilization, Western civilization. We are bound to one another by the deepest bonds that nations could share, forged by centuries of shared history, Christian faith, culture, heritage, language, ancestry, and the sacrifices our forefathers made together for the common civilization to which we have fallen heir. And so this is why we Americans may sometimes come off as a little direct and urgent in our counsel. This is why President Trump demands seriousness and reciprocity from our friends here in Europe. The reason why, my friends, is because we care deeply. We care deeply about your future and ours. And if at times we disagree, our disagreements come from our profound sense of concern about a Europe with which we are connected, not just economically, not just militarily. We are connected spiritually, and we are connected culturally. We want Europe to be strong. We believe that Europe must survive. Because the two great wars of the last century serve for us as history's constant reminder that ultimately our destiny is and will always be intertwined with yours. Because we know Because we know that the fate of Europe will never be irrelevant to our own.
Just a portion of the speech at the Munich Security Conference, which was really well received. President Trump yesterday says this partial shutdown that's going on right now, you can blame it all on the Democrats.
This is a Democrat shutdown. This has nothing to do with Republicans. This is a Democrat shutdown. They're upset that the crime numbers are so good. They're very unhappy that the crime numbers are so good. They're very unhappy that there's a movement for getting voter ID. They want voter ID. The population, 98%, want voter ID. They don't want voter ID because they want to cheat in elections. They also want other things. They don't want mail-in ballots. They want to end mail-in ballots, which is corrupt. And one other thing that they're insisting on is proof of citizenship. And the Democrats don't want to give proof of citizenship. They don't want to give voter ID. Think of it. Who wouldn't want proof of citizenship, I ask you, Steve? Who wouldn't want voter ID? And why would you want mail-in ballots if you know it's corrupt? It's a corrupt system. We're the only country in the world that has this system of mail-in ballots. Think of it. The only country in the world that has this system of mail-in ballots. Because they cheat. And the fact is, they could never get elected if they ever changed. They don't. If you had voter ID, if you had proof of citizenship, they could never win an election. And they know that. And they're fighting to the hilt. And I put this down with men playing in women's sports. I put it down with transgender for everybody. I put it down with their horrible open border policy as being ridiculous. They don't want voter ID. No voter ID.
And finally, also remarked on the performances of AOC and Newsom, along with Hillary, at the Munich Security Conference.
By the way, I watched AOC answering questions in Munich. This was not a good look for the United States. I watched Gavin Newsom answering questions in Munich, and this was a bad look for our country. These two people are incompetent. And at least Hillary's competent. She's just Trump deranged. She was so deranged. She is an angry woman. But I watched the other two speaking and answering basic questions. Look, Gavin has destroyed California. And AOC, I never heard her speak very much. And they started answering questions. She had no idea what was happening. She had no idea how to answer, you know, very important questions concerning the world. But she can't answer questions concerning New York City either. Because New York City has got some problems.
Yeah, I'm wondering how Governor Moore would fare at the Munich Security Conference. It would be very interesting to see him at one of those events tackling foreign policy as well. And that's the way it went down yesterday, 394 days into the new golden age.
And we are just getting started.
Coming up, Governor Moore is working with judges, remark, fueling a scrutiny over the timing of a state court contract when he had admitted meeting or working with judges. That's next on Casey and Company.
The Maryland Home and Garden Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air, February 28th through March 1st and March 6th through 8th at the Timonium Fairgrounds Cow Palace. See Craig Conover from Bravo's hit show Southern Charm March 6th and 7th. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
Man, awnings are better. They are the talk of the town. They come in all styles and colors with the best guarantee around. Always remember Huffman. Call them anytime of the day. 685-5687. Call John today. Our new address is 5113 Blair Road. We have the same phone number, 685-5687. Call us today for your new canvas or aluminum awnings. We will be awaiting your call. Thank you.
Huffman Awning Company, 5113 Bel Air Road. Call 410-685-5687. Huffman Awning Company, 410-685-5687. 410-685-5687.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturdays at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
actually learn to listen?
Listen for the news at the top of the hour and again at the bottom of the hour. Then back to the top for more.
That's why it's important you listen to us.
Listen for the news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
7:23, time once again for traffic and weather on the Threes update. Now with the king of all traffic, Chuck the Body Whitaker.
Now it looks like there may be another problem here on the Severn River Bridge. I just saw a medic unit in the center lane on the bridge headed westbound. And we went from almost clearing out completely about 10, 12 minutes ago to where we're backed up again now on the westbound side. So obviously the medic unit now is arriving and looking for whatever new is now backing us up on the bridge, which in turn is backing us up to Ritchie Highway and slowly backing up towards Whitehall Road. And now that the medic unit is in that area, that's for sure going to block a lane. We'll try to get a look at that. Just beyond that, over at Roe Boulevard, traffic is trickling by, so we do have at least some lanes open. We're going to have to keep an eye on this section of the Severn River Bridge, try to find out which lane is affected on the westbound side with a heavy backup and some heavy fog also in that area. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the Threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 25 Weather Authority forecast mostly cloudy today. Highs in the low 50s. It's 34 right now in Annapolis and 34 in Ellicott City. We're talking about the bipartisan fire. Governor Moore is under by Republicans and Democrats. And it was his comment back earlier part of this month on MS Now that drew some scrutiny about his redistricting push, this time when he said he was working with judges.
The entire process, we have been working with lawyers and also judges.
And so that got a little bit wild. What kind of judges? And Delegate Lauren Arakin wants to know which judges, who?
If it was retired judges, I'd love to know who. I think the public, for transparency, should know who he spoke to about that issue, because we have a right to know that the process, the judicial process, is intact and has not been compromised by a breach in the separation of powers.
Now, new questions are starting to be asked about the timing of this $147 million state contract approved by the very court, or for the very court, I should say, that could decide on the legality of these redistricting maps if it ever gets out of the Senate. More on that coming up in just a second. Now, the Board of Public Works, which includes Governor Moore as a voting member, approved the construction contract last December, on December the 17th. The project will replace the court's current building, which is about over 50 years old. And so, again, will that benefit the judges? Sure. We'll have a brand-new building, brand-new offices. Did Governor Moore... Now, they're saying that this proposal, this contract to replace the current court building had been in the works for previous administrations, but magically it gets voted on and approved at the very time the governor is pushing his redistricting maps. Now, again, I don't believe in coincidences. I'm not saying this was Governor Moore's idea, but I do question the timing. So does Delegate Arakin.
$147 million building, 200,000 square feet, you know, right at the time when those very folks are going to be the ones that could potentially be deciding on the legality of these redistricting maps. I think the timing is extremely questionable.
And speaking of timing, there's an article in Politico today, how Maryland Democrats are thwarting Wes Moore's political ambitions. And the piece says Moore has been outmaneuvered at times by members of his own party, particularly those in the Maryland Senate, where his gerrymander blitz is facing an unceremonious death. Some national Democrats question whether Moore can lead the nation if he fails to bend lawmakers in a solidly blue state with a Democrat-controlled legislature to enact his policy priorities. And it has drawn unfavorable comparisons to California Governor Gavin Newsom, a likely 28 White House contender who pushed and rammed his major redistricting effort in the state through the state assembly. Again, a supermajority in California. Why can't Wes Moore get it done? Well, it's Bill Ferguson and other members of the Maryland State Senate who think they could end up losing seats, not gaining them. And that is the reason why. And, of course, he also, remember, back in when they had the special session last year, they overrode his vetoes 16 times. That tied Lockdown Larry for the most overridden vetoes. Here's one Democrat strategist quoted in the Politico article saying, truly, Wes Moore is a great candidate. He has the pizzazz and the swagger that some folks wish they could have, but the operations of his political tentacles, I said tentacles, are weak. His inside political network is weak. And now we're seeing Speaker Pelosi, former Speaker Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries, who said he's willing to travel to Annapolis to meet with Bill Ferguson to apply the pressure on Bill. That'll be some kind of bribe or, you know, some kind of deal will be struck. You get this through, we'll take care of you, don't worry. So, we'll see. Jamie Raskin, who previously served in the Maryland Senate, penned a letter to lawmakers saying that it is a clear and present danger not to act on the redistricting bill. So you can see Maryland Democrats are unhappy with Wes Moore, and Maryland Republicans certainly are not happy either. So we'll see. And then you've got the energy crisis. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on the show. Are the wheels coming off the cart? That's the question for Governor Moore. Is that what caused this? Last month, he's defending Secretary Lopez, and then 30 days later, out you go. Can't have you in the and number nine to go down the proverbial rabbit hole. We shall see how it all plays out. Our good friends, Mayor and Mayor, who run Town Appliance in on Owings Mills, incredible appliance store, five-star customer service, competitive pricing. Their aim is to keep you as a customer for life for all your appliance needs. You know, whether it's for a single appliance or if you're upgrading an entire kitchen or even an outdoor barbecue space, they've got it all. Over 70 different brands on display, all different kinds of styles, budgets, you name it, and they're expanding the showroom. You got to see it, check it out to believe it. That's Town Appliance right off Reisterstown Road in Owings Mills for all your appliance needs. 7:30, let's get a news update. Once again, here's Maggie.
Thanks. Good morning. Immigration rights advocates held an emergency rally and vigil in Annapolis Monday. The ACLU of Maryland, CASA, the NAACP, and other groups gathered at Lawyers Mall to demand that state lawmakers pass policies to end all formal and informal collusion with ICE. Advocates are also calling for the passage of the Community Trust Act, requiring local correctional facilities to have a judicial warrant to detain or keep someone in custody before transferring them to ICE. It would also stop police or correction officers from helping with immigration arrests. Governor Wes Moore could sign a bill that would ban 287G agreements between local law enforcement and ICE as early as today. Republican Delegate Ryan Nalrocki has introduced a bill that would create a statewide Inspector General's office. In a statement, he says, Marylanders deserve a government that is accountable, transparent, and focused on responsible stewardship of taxpayer dollars. Nalrocki says an independent statewide Inspector General would provide the investigative tools necessary to uncover waste, fraud, and abuse, modernize the state's oversight systems, and strengthen public trust. He says the bill creates an independent watchdog to protect taxpayers, not politicians. And three Baltimore County firefighters suffered non-life-threatening injuries battling an apartment building fire in Woodlawn. The fire broke out in the 6300 block of Monica Place Monday afternoon, and when firefighters arrived, they were able to rescue several people who were trapped in the building. Multiple residents have been displaced by the fire, and the Red Cross is assisting them. The injured firefighters were taken to hospitals for treatment. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. 7:31 on Casey and Company. Coming up next, Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes.
Comcast Business helps turn today's small businesses into engines of modern business. It's how restaurants become reliably up-and-running neighborhood favorites. How retailers become seamlessly restocking, cyber-securing, must-visit shops. And how healthcare offices become the data-managing caregivers that we all depend on. With reliable connectivity, enhanced cybersecurity, advanced fiber solutions, and Wi-Fi backup, Comcast Business is powering the engine of modern business. Powering possibilities.
Now through March 22nd, switch to Comcast Business and get started with 150 megabit internet for $59.99 a month for 12 months with a two-year agreement. Or ask how to lock in your rate for 5 years on a qualifying internet bundle and get a $500 prepaid card when you add two lines of mobile for a limited time only. Call today. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Requires paperless billing and automatic payments with bank account. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and other fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply.
7:33 on Casey and Company. Here's Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes.
Just saw a trooper arriving near this accident scene on the Severn River Bridge, and the updated information we had about 10 minutes ago said the accident was in the right lane. We saw a medic unit, now we just saw a trooper arriving there. So we're just trying to confirm that we still have the road blockage on the bridge. The backup on 50 westbound was edging back towards Whitehall Road. So as you're coming off the Bay Bridge and over to the Severn River Bridge, some traffic is getting by, but it has created a delay, which could be 15 to 20 minutes right now on the westbound side. It looks like all the normal delays are out there right now on the Beltway in the fog. Nothing major at this point, but the west side is pretty solid there, and heavy fog on both the inner and the outer loop right at the ramp at 795. JFX is dealing with it right now, and we're not too bad between Ruxton Road and the City County line. Heavy delays and very heavy traffic south at both the harbor tunnels. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Big warm-up gets underway today. Mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low 50s. More clouds tonight with temperatures falling back into the upper 30s. Even warmer come Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Ravens news. The team will introduce their new OC, DC, and special teams coaches tomorrow at a press conference in Owings Mills. The DC, of course, is Anthony Weaver, who played in Baltimore for 4 years and came back as an assistant coach and now as a coordinator, well aware of what preceded him here in Baltimore.
That have held this position before me, right? Go back to Marvin Lewis, Mike Nolan, Rex Ryan, right, Wink Martindale, Dean Pease, like Mike McDonald.
Right.
And I mean, there's just so many coaches that I have a tremendous amount of respect for.
The Purple Crush era of the Ravens defense in the year 2000 ranked first in points allowed, first in total yards, and first in rushing yards. And then the decade of dominance from 2010 to 19, the Ravens named the best defensive team of the decade by ESPN, ranking first in defensive efficiency, second in yards per game. A major change coming to MLB broadcast this season. The Chicago Sun-Times reporting that MLB broadcast will not show whether a pitch is a ball or a strike on the on-screen strike zone, you know, that box that's in the middle of the zone. In an effort to make sure no one can exploit the automatic ball strike challenge system that will be implemented this season through on-air broadcasts. So again, no box in the strike zone this season on MLB broadcasts. How dominant has the U.S. women's hockey team been in these Olympic Games? U.S. making the final yesterday by shutting out the Swedes. 5-0 was the final, earning a berth opposite Canada in the title game. Here's Team USA forward Hillary Knight on what it means to be skating for gold.
It's magical. I mean, these are the moments you dream of as being a little kid. You know, everything on the line, the big moments, and to be able to do it with this room and this type of people is just so much fun. So really looking
forward. The U.S. has outscored their opponents 31-1, have yet to trail or be tied after 0-0, and is in position to become the third women's team to do that over the entire tournament, joining Canada in 2006 and 2010. And finally, LeBron James igniting outrage in social media circles for his comments on the state of Israel. Asked at the All-Star game over the weekend by an Israeli reporter about fellow All-Star and Israeli citizen Danny Avita, LeBron offered this to Israeli basketball fans.
I've never been there. If I have fans over there, then you know, I hope you have been following my career. I hope I inspired people over there to not only want to be great in sports, but I want you to be better in general in life. So hopefully someday I can make it over there. Like I said, I've never been over there, but I've heard nothing but great things.
Heard nothing but great things, and the left went nuts on platforms like X and Instagram, with many users accusing them of ignoring the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and the actions of the Israeli government. The time now is 7:37 when we return what Spike Lee was wearing at the NBA All-Star Game.
This is Rob Carson. I am fired up for June 11th when we take the Gettysburg Battlefield Bus Tour. We leave WCBM at 8 in the morning, and our first stop is the Gettysburg Visitor Center and Museum. It's a perfect way to understand the history before we head out onto the battlefield itself. We enjoy lunch at the Dobbin House, and we take a full guided tour of the battlefields with a licensed expert. Seats are limited, so lock yours in now at WCBM.com at Gettysburg with WCBM.
Gettysburg Battlefield Bus Tour is presented by the Smile Design Center.
Okay, so here's the situation. You're Spike Lee. You're going to be at the NBA All-Star Game, which is televised internationally by NBC. You're going to be sitting in the front row.
Yes.
You're probably going to be sitting at or near Obama and his wife.
Right.
Okay. And so what do you wear? What do you wear to the NBA All-Star Game if you're Spike Lee?
Does he normally wear a hat?
He does. He normally wears a hat.
Yeah, normally wears a hat, but he wore other than that, I'm not really, I don't pay attention to his wardrobe that
he
much.
He wore a full-body keffiyeh.
Oh, my God. The Palestinian headwear.
It's actually Bedouin headwear, but it's come to be the Palestinian symbol of resistance, et cetera, et cetera. So that, and that's my point. You're making a political, and it's not. I mean, we're not surprised, of course,
right?
But you're making a you go out of your way to make a political statement on the day that the first Israeli basketball player has ever been to an NBA All-Star game. We're talking about Danny Avita, who used to play for the Wizards, and now he plays out west. And so that's what Spike Lee did on Sunday.
Doesn't surprise you?
Nope, doesn't surprise you at all. Yeah. Just thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing it up and bringing our attention to it. Spike Lee is just a just another radical lefty. He, you know, again, I don't even know why, because he's a filmmaker. I mean, that's why. But, you know, where's his? I don't know what. You know,
I mean, has he really done anything?
A lot of his films, and they are films. I think he hasn't made a new film in years. We're all also pushing, you know, along racial lines.
Well, of course,
yeah, injecting race. That's
what he is. But you know, after the first couple films, I forget their names, but I know they were popular because he was all hot back then. But like in the last 30 years, has he done anything?
Not that I can recall. But he's probably written some books. Other than being a professional NBA attendee. That's all he does is watch games. Knicks games.
Madison Square Garden. Right.
Thanks, Gary. 7:39, 21 minutes now before the hour of 8 o'clock. The Epstein files have all been released, according to the Justice Department, Attorney General Pam Bondi. Everything now is out, according to them. There are others like Thomas Massie, who, again, I don't even know why this guy calls a Republican. I can't remember the last Republican bill he voted for. He typically votes against all bills, so he really is a Democrat in Republican clothing. But in any event, Hillary was asked about the Epstein files at the Munich Security Conference and says, even though she and Bill are going to testify, she said this whole thing is about Trump.
I think everybody should testify who is asked to testify. I just want it to be fair. I want everybody treated the same way. That's not true for my husband and me, because other witnesses were asked to testify. They gave written statements under oath. We offered that. They want to pull us. Why do they want to pull us into this? To divert attention from President Trump.
She went on to say she doesn't recall ever meeting Epstein, but she does admit meeting Ghislaine Maxwell. We don't have anything from Sequoia as of yet. We'll have to wait on that. President Trump responded after he was on Air Force One, and a reporter asked him to respond to Hillary's comments.
I have nothing to hide. I've been exonerated. I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. They went in hoping that they'd find it and found just the opposite. I've been totally exonerated. In fact, Jeffrey Epstein was fighting that I don't get elected with some author, a sleazebag, by the way. And I've been totally exonerated. No, they're getting pulled in, and that's their problem. I don't know. They're going to have to see what happens. But I watched her in Munich, and she seriously has Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, so that is something I'm talking about. Michael Wolff, the author there, that he was basically scheming with Jeffrey Epstein. And also what's curious is Steve Bannon now has been, you know, pulled into this Epstein files controversy as well, exchanging emails that have all surfaced now. Bannon said yesterday that it's all part of his documentary. He was a documentary filmmaker that was making a film about Epstein, and that's the reason why they exchanged so many emails, and that film will be out later this year. We'll wait and see the film, because sometimes, you know, they play nice publicly to get the dirt on the people in the film, so I'll wait and reserve judgment until them. But what's interesting now is Dan Cox, Republican gubernatorial candidate, who will be with us tomorrow morning on the show, put this on Facebook. He put it back in 2022. Larry Hogan, Wes Moore, and others called me all sorts of conspiracy theorist names, and I called for investigations about an alleged international pedophile pizza ring, then pedophile ring, then report as Pizzagate. Now who's shown to be right? Pizzagate is in the Epstein files. And folks, and I've read through it, it's in there a lot. And then he made this allegation. Larry Hogan and Wes Moore are mentioned in the Epstein files. Both apparently as those elites were preparing for high office. Wes Moore needs to come clean on who he's associated with and why he was mentioned in the Epstein files. Larry Hogan and Wes Moore also owe me a public apology for their lies and defamation of my character. Now, I've not seen their names in the Epstein files, but I haven't read all of these, like millions of pages. So we'll have to wait and see. We'll ask Dan Cox tomorrow if they're where their names appear in the Epstein files, both Larry Hogan and Wes Moore. Isn't that something? 7:43, traffic and weather on the threes. Once again, we need a candidate for our Choose Your Fake and News segment. And you can call us right now, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680. Call now, reserve your spot, and you can get to match wits with the panel, including the illustrious Buddha Johnson.
Illustrious.
Illustrious.
Very nice.
Yeah, you're all lit up.
The combustible. The westbound side of the Sever River Bridge now looks better. It looks like at one point there may have been two different problems there, and now the pace is again starting to move west of Ritchie Highway to the Sever River Bridge, and then over towards I-97. We did back up towards Whitehall Road. We're going to keep an eye on that, but it was getting better. There's a lot of fog around the main span at the Bay Bridge, and the morning backups, of course, I-97 southbound for the traffic moving into the split at Route 32. We're still backed up, 25 to 30 minute delays south. We were off yesterday with very light traffic. We're back in business today, both on 95 and 895 southbound. All the normal delays on the Beltway, Parkville side, Interloop through Pikesville, 795 down to Frederick Road on the west side. And at least so far, the southwest side of the Beltway has been clear, and we're back there. Just going to make a quick check right here at the BW Parkway. Other than the fog, we're doing fine on both sides of the Beltway right here at 295. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your Fox 25 Weather Authority forecast. Cloudy today. Highs reaching in the low 50s. Tonight in the upper 30s. Overcast. Right now we're looking at 34 degrees in Reisterstown, and it is 35 in Ocean City. Time to choose your fake news. Three stories, one of which is not true. Identify the fake news story, and you will be the winner. We got some WCBM merchandise to send your way. Lori in Westminster is our contestant. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
You want to go first, second, third, or last?
Last.
All right, good luck. Here are your three stories. Story one, a transgender member of the U.S. Congress is being mercilessly mocked after correcting himself for using the word boogeyman instead of boogie people. This apparently happened Saturday at the Munich Security Conference in Germany. U.S. Representative Sarah McBride, whose birth name is Tim McBride, was part of a panel with Hillary Clinton called Girls Just Want to Have Fundamental Rights, Fighting the Global Pushback. Story two, Eric Swalwell, he's back in the news again, remember him and Fang Fang? Well, apparently he wrote some really kinky poems and stories when he was a student in college.
Ew.
Stuff like an unsettling 2001 poem about two lovers kissing and biting until their veins imploded and exploded during a kinky hotel hookup. And one phrase, we groaned simultaneously.
Wow. Well, apparently, Roto-Rooter.
Apparently, Netflix has taken notice, and the Obama run Netflix has ordered a new small television series based on Swalwell's kinky poems and stories.
Swalwell's tales.
Right. Story three. Glad you made that plural. In New York City, you can now hear the Islamic call to prayer broadcast five times a day, thanks to Kami Mamdani, and a payback to his Muslim voters. They say it's a beautiful call to prayer. The Allahu Akbar can be heard blared five times daily from the loudspeakers in New York City.
They have to change the lyrics to Frank Sinatra.
New York. Yeah.
I used to hear the call of the track at Pimlico.
All right, story one is trans member of Congress getting lit up over boogeymen instead of boogie people. Swalwell's new Netflix series based on his kinky poems or the Islamic call to prayer five times a day in the Big Apple. All right, we'll start with Maggie.
I say number two is fake.
Maggie goes for number two. Kristen.
I mean, again, they're all possible in today's world. I think I'm going to have to go with number two as well. I would hope Netflix wouldn't sink
that low.
They're low, but not that low.
Chuck.
Three, please.
Chuck wants number three. And Lori?
Two.
Lori also goes for story two. Story one gets no votes. That's because it's a true story. All right, boogie people.
Boogie people.
That sounds
didn't
like
the
a.
Didn't the Bee Gees do a song?
Yeah, there was a song that rhymes. It's like
boogie people. Or
no, there's not a song. It's
Boogie
Child.
Like that. It was Boogie Child, but now it should be Boogie
right.
People.
Okay, story number two gets most of the votes today, and that's because it is a fake news story. No, there
thank
are
God.
There are kinky palms.
Of course there are.
But,
about Fang Fang? Or
but not on Netflix.
Fang. Okay.
Not yet.
So they're sounding the trumpets really in New York?
Yes, they are.
That's disturbing.
Very disturbing.
I saw that on YouTube.
Yeah. Lori, thanks so much. We'll put you on hold today to get your prize. Thanks for playing the game. Yeah, that's Miami. That's another reason not to visit New York now. It's gone, man.
Done.
I'm telling you, New York City in 4 years is going to look like London does today. It's going to have no-go zones.
I don't even know if it's going to take that.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens if New Yorkers wake up or if the once great city
Our
of New York.
A symbol of freedom
has,
at one time.
Remember, Islam means to submit, and it looks like they're submitting in New York City, to say the least.
Ugh.
749, you can join us here, 410-922-6680. Pat Dyer is a county executive candidate on the Republican side. He's going to join us at the top of the hour. It looks like there's an emergency meeting that's been called to address whether or not ICE wants to lease or purchase a building in Hunt Valley. You know, the left cries about the conditions at these detention facilities, and then when ICE looks to buy one or purchase one to make these conditions more amenable to those they're going to eventually deport, they have a meltdown about that as well. That's because they're open borders. They don't care about us. They only care about illegal aliens. Pat Dyer will address that coming up at the top of the hour. And we're finding out that graduating rates are plummeting in Baltimore County now at a 14-year low. We'll talk about that coming up next right here on Casey and Company.
Over the next few minutes, we're going to turn our eyes to the market and how to control the uncontrollable. Brian Herbert is a financial and tax planner and a 5-star wealth management award winner with ProStatus Financial right here in Maryland. Brian, I think we're all hyper aware of the fact that the markets have been volatile as of late. What I think most of us are wondering is, what can we do about it?
It's the consistency. It's having the plan for your income and retirement. Any income that you're having coming in from your portfolio should not be dependent on the stock market getting you a 5% rate of return or a 4% or 10% or whatever it happens to be. You want that to be unaffected by the market so that when we have times like these where we have so much volatility, you're not stressed about, do I have enough? Am I still going to be able to retire when I want? You want to have this consistent plan. If that's the kind of feeling that you want to have, if that's the kind of messaging and plan that you want from your financial advisor, I encourage you to sit down with Mike, myself, Catherine, Faisal, Sam, Andrew, a member of our team at ProStatus Financial, and we will put together your very own retirement plan that accounts for these crazy swings in the market, that accounts for that income that you need to have in retirement. But it all starts by giving us a call at 866-597-1040, 866-597-1040.
If you're 55 or older, have saved $500,000, and are serious about your retirement, congratulations. We're going to personally create a complete retirement plan for you. This includes a 401k X-ray and a portfolio protection plan. We'll also run an income analyzer so you can see how much income you can start to generate from your savings and make sure your retirement is protected and geared for growth. Call 866-597-1040. That's 866-597-1040, or go to ProStatusFinancial.com and schedule your free 15-minute phone conversation today. That's ProStatusFinancial.com.
Advisory services offered through ProStatus Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Take WCBM wherever you go. Listen on 680 WCBM, WCBM.com, on the WCBM mobile app, or tell Alexa, Siri, or Google to play WCBM. It's free. Listen live or on demand to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harper County.
752, it has happened again, and the media won't tell you about it. That's why you come here for the truth. That awful, horrific shooting at an ice rink in Pawtucket, Rhode Island yesterday that left a number of people dead and others injured was being reported as a family domestic dispute, okay? And you immediately think, guy kills his wife kills the guy, whatever the case may be. But it's not quite that simple. It's just a horrifying story. We find out that the husband, his name is Robert Dorgan. He went by the name Roberta Esposito. or Roberto Dorgano. He was a biological male identifying as a woman. So here we go again. We have a... Apparently trans people go on berserk the day before a family massacre. This is something that there was all sorts of... he's got a social media footprint. The guy had mental issues, clearly. I think anybody that that identifies as another gender has got mental illness and needs to be treated. And, of course, what they do is they do the exact opposite. They pump them full of chemicals and drugs that seem to aggravate their problem. So that's the truth up in Rhode Island. 7:53, traffic and weather on the threes. Now with the update, we've got the king of all traffic, Lugnuts Johnson.
All right, so the pace is still slow. The accident had cleared to the right side on the westbound side of 50 after the Severn River Bridge. So once in a while here, we start to back up. And again, there are some brake lights right here after the ramp at Ritchie Highway and getting onto the bridge. And then as we move over towards Rowe Boulevard and through that area towards I-97, the pace is good through there. The morning backups are there. I-97 southbound as you're coming down from Benfield Boulevard to the split at Route 32. Heavy fog in the area. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBF.
Fox 25 Weather Authority forecast, mostly cloudy and low 50s today, so we get more of that snowcrete that gets to melt overnight. It'll be overcast, upper 30s. Tomorrow, rest of the week, we're going to be in the 50s. Maybe by the time the rain comes on Friday, we'll be rid of all the snow and ice from last month. Right now, 35 in the city and 34 in Parkville. Well, Chris Papps does excellent work for Sinclair Broadcasting with his Project Baltimore and his latest piece featuring a story headline, a graduation rate in Baltimore County now falling to a 14-year low. And one of the school board members, Maggie Dabanowski, says that she knows what the problem is. And we'll get to her in just a second. But the four-year high school graduation rate in Baltimore County Public Schools has now plummeted to a 14-year low again. And it is something that and Dabanowski is running for re-election. And she says that the problem is we're not placing our priorities in the right areas.
We're not preparing these students to be productive adults, and we have to get better at it. The majority of the adults on the board in the school system make decisions that are in the best interest of adults.
Yeah. So they're making decisions for adults, about adults, and that is not focused on, it's not student-centric. Okay, this is all about creating employees for the county. But Papps does a great job of pointing out that the number of teachers continue to be reduced, while the number of employees for the Baltimore County continue to be increased. So that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Let's have a top-heavy administrative leader and not enough teachers, and that's the reason why the scores aren't as well and the graduation rates, because if you don't have enough teachers connecting with students, kids drop out, they lose interest, etc. And that's Dabanowski agrees.
I understand that these are people's jobs, but the education system is not in the business of creating jobs for adults. They're in the business to educate students, period. And we've gotten away from that. You can see it in our numbers.
Going back to 2011, the grad rate in Baltimore County schools was 83.1%. Then it started to increase. And in 2018, it reached a high of 89.2. But then, in the last seven years or so, it began to fall all the way to 84% in 2025. So that's the lowest it's been in 14 years. And Dabanowski says she knows what the solution is.
The solution is to make the best decisions for students, to forget about the cost, the money, the contracts, the bureaucracy. Every decision we make has to be because it's best for the students' education.
So here's the problem. In 2021, Baltimore County Public Schools had about 7,800 teachers. Last year, that number was down to 7,300. So we lost 500 teachers, and they grew by 250 employees. What's wrong with this picture? I think it's pretty self-explanatory what's happening here. Baltimore County released a statement saying heightened fears in our community regarding the uptick in immigration enforcement. Here we go. It's all about Hispanic and multilingual student groups. Their graduation rate fell by 4.9 and 6.3%. Right. They're dropping out of school. They just want to go home and hide from ICE. That's what they're expecting us to believe. We need new leadership at the county executive level. We need new leadership at the county council level. And especially since we're now going up from 7 to 9 seats in this coming election year. So, again, look at your county council candidates very carefully and the county executive candidates very carefully as well. And you can see right now people like Izzy Patoka and Julian Jones, they're all for illegal aliens pouring into Maryland, pouring into our schools, costing us extra money, taking up space, robbing Maryland students, law-abiding citizens, citizens and law-abiding residents from learning in school. And that's an ongoing problem, and that's we see the numbers, and the numbers do not lie. Great job by Chris Papps. We'll reach out to Maggie Domonoski and see if we can get her on the show here again in the near future. Pat Dyer, who wants to be your county executive, he's going to join us next right after the 8 o'clock news, so stay tuned for that. They're talking about maybe an ICE facility in Hunt Valley, and we'll talk about that as well. All right, Best of Casey & Company is available each and every day at WCBM.com on our Rumble and Facebook pages, and it's brought to you by the law offices of Michael A. Freeman. One other political note that I wanted to share with you today, Ed Hale Sr., a Republican gubernatorial candidate, is going to announce his pick for his running mate. It'll be down at the Canton Waterfront on Boston Street at 10 a.m. Thursday. I got the revised edition now. It's this Thursday, not today. Thursday. It'll be down there. So we'll find out Ed's pick on Thursday. And that's just, of course, about 5 days before the filing deadline. And then he can be official on and filed for that as a ticket and running mate. It's 8 o'clock on Casey & Company.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. U.S. and Iranian negotiators are holding a second round of talks mediated by Oman in Geneva. The U.S. is pressing for a deal on Iran's nuclear program, and President Trump seems to think the prospects are looking pretty good.
I think they want to make a deal. I don't think they want the consequences of not making a deal. They want to make a deal.
Iran, meanwhile, has conducted a missile test. Delegations from Moscow and Kiev getting ready for another round of U.S. brokered talks. The fourth anniversary of Russia's war in Ukraine approaches.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says his government's delegation is in Switzerland, and Russian state news agency TASS says the Moscow team has also arrived. Tough discussions about the future of Russian-occupied Ukrainian territory are expected as President Donald Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff and son-in-law Jared Kushner sit down with the delegations, according to a person familiar with the talks who spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the matter. That's because Russian officials are still insisting that Ukraine cede control of its eastern Donbass region. Expectations for any breakthrough in the latest round of negotiations are low, however, with neither side apparently ready to budge from their positions on key territorial issues. I'm Charles Villadesma.
His family says the Reverend Jesse Jackson died this morning. He was 84. Three people, including the gunman, are dead. A shooting at a high school hockey game in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Three people in critical condition. Jill Biden's former husband, William Stevenson, set to enter a plea in Delaware. The charges that he killed his current wife. Stock futures in the red this morning on Wall Street. The Dow futures are down 123 points. The Nasdaq futures off 221. And the S&P futures down 31 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
They say timing is everything in the gold and silver markets, and it's true. Dennis Prager here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Although you can buy at the right time, if you buy the wrong coins, you may not make a profit. When gold was $400 an ounce, many people were talked into buying high-grade old gold and silver collector's coins. Unfortunately, most of the people who bought these so-called semi-numismatic coins, like the $20 St. Gaudens and Liberty Head gold coins, have not broken even on their investment. incredible, given that gold has risen approximately 525% since then. So while timing is everything, if you buy the wrong coins, the timing simply doesn't matter. Having a dealer who cares about positioning you in the right types of coins or bullion will mean more to your portfolio than anything else. That's why I deal with Nick Rovich and AmFed Coin and Bullion. Whether you're buying or selling, call 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com, AmericanFederal.com.
Good morning. It's 8:03 on Casey and Company. Here's Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes.
And the recovery continues here on the Severn River Bridge from earlier problems westbound. Right now, the pace is pretty good there. It's still backed up right before you get to Ritchie Highway, but not a major backup. And as long as it maintains this pace, this area before Ritchie Highway should clear itself out. And then the traffic coming over from Whitehall Road will also get better. It's very slow right now between the Bay Bridge and the Severn River Bridge on the westbound side. We're still in the area of 25 to 30 minute delays. Very heavy traffic continues south at both the harbor tunnels. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBF.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Big warm-up gets underway today. Mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low 50s. More clouds tonight, but temperatures falling back into the upper 30s. Even warmer come Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBF.
36 degrees in Pikesville and 35 in Edgewood at 8:04. Here are the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center. Baltimore police responded to a report of a shooting on Greenmount Avenue in the early hours of Tuesday morning, reported by Fox 45. Officers could be seen guarding the front entrance to Melba's Place in the 3100 block of Greenmount Avenue. One man told Fox 45 that he was inside the bar when someone shot one of the customers. The Maryland Freedom Caucus has launched a petition calling on Governor Wes Moore to halt taxes, fees on rising energy bills. The Republican lawmakers say Maryland families, seniors, and small businesses are struggling with skyrocketing gas and electric bills, with some households having to choose between heating their homes and putting food on the table. The caucus has posted a letter on its website asking the public to email it to the governor, Senate president, and the chairman of the House Energy Committee to show support for realistic measures that will reduce energy cost and ensure a stable power supply. Last night's winning Maryland lottery pick three was 264. The pick four, 2393. 8:05 on Casey and Company. Stein on Sports coming up next.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, right now we have a politically divided country, trade wars, stock market uncertainty, tax changes, and the list goes on. Now, do you think that these world affairs have any effect on your financial affairs? Look, if you're not prepared, you could be in for a very rude awakening. Now, you've saved and been able to grow your money. You don't want to have to make it again. Call my guys, Rod Barowi and Paresh Shaw with the Safe Retirement Solutions team. Now, Rod and Paresh, now they're published authors, radio hosts right here on WCBM. Now they can show you how Wall Street's fuzzy math could derail your entire retirement plan. Now, do you want to get a handle on your retirement? Call the Safe Retirement Solutions team. Call them now at 410-266-1120. That's 410-266-1120. Schedule an in-person or a Zoom visit. That's 410-266-1120. Or check them out online at SafeRetirementSolutions.com.
Now, Gary Stein on Sports.
805 Sports brought to you by the Comfort Guys. That's Farnan and Dermer, keeping your home warm all winter long. Orioles owner David Rubenstein addressing his birds before the team's first workout yesterday. It's the second straight year the owner has addressed the squad, the first under manager Craig Albernaz.
It was great. The players should feel the support that they have from the organization. Like, there's a lot of people in that room, and they should feel that the organization is pulling for them and not working against them.
Rubenstein has made comments in the past that the financial health of the team is sound and that money was no object in securing players for the team. As spring training begins, the Birds have spent an estimated $185 million on players compared to the final 2025 payroll of approximately $179 million. So what was it like for Ravens defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver this offseason? A hot commodity on the head coaching list of teams, but ultimately not getting any of them.
Interview for 5 of the 10 jobs. And as you guys can imagine, like after a taxing season, there is nothing easy about that. But I thought I'd put my best foot forward. If I learned anything, it's I'm actually just grateful. I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for the experience. And if I'm blessed one day to hold that role, then shoot, I'm gonna jump at it, and I'm going to do the best job I absolutely can. But
other NFL-related news, the brother of late NFL star Pat Tillman pled guilty to setting fire to a U.S. postal office in 2025. According to federal prosecutors, Richard Tillman, age 44, intentionally crashed his vehicle into a post office in San Jose, California, and then lit the car on fire. In pleading guilty, Tillman admitted that he intentionally set the fire to make a point, quote-unquote, to the U.S. government. Tillman's brother Pat Tillman was a star safety with the Arizona Cardinals, but walked away from the NFL to join the U.S. Army Rangers in the wake of the 9/11 terror attacks. He was killed by friendly fire in 2004 while serving the nation in Afghanistan. Coming up in 30 minutes, what are reasonable expectations for Trevor Rodgers? And that is Stein on Sports.
How do you get ready for the change of seasons? Well, it's easy. Call my guys, the comfort guys that I trust, Farnan and Dermer. These folks have been keeping homes warm since 1902. You need same-day heating repair or a full system replacement? They've got you covered. 0% financing for 60 months and rebates up to $7,000 off select systems. Tell them Gary told you to call and get a $99 tune-up with no breakdown guarantee. Call 410-367-7777. That's the comfort guys that you can trust.
From Annapolis to Catonsville, from Dundalk to Reisterstown, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You're listening to Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
So ice derangement syndrome continues to plague Maryland. Howard County passed a proactive bill to limit, restrict, or otherwise prohibit private companies coming in with zoning to establish ICE detention facilities or ICE offices. Washington County just approved one. That's believed to be a detention facility. But in Baltimore County, the county executive, Kathy Klausmeier, calling for a special emergency session today after learning that U.S.'s GSA had leased office space in Hunt Valley and purportedly to be for ICE, not for a detention facility, but just have an ICE office. Joining us now on our Newsmaker Hotline is a Republican county executive candidate, Pat Dyer. Pat, good morning. Welcome back.
Hey, Sean. Good morning. Good morning to you and all your listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on. You know, I am a lifelong Baltimore County resident, so I really care deeply about these issues.
Yeah, and so what are your thoughts here on the county executive now wanting to call emergency session, this ostensibly to prevent the General Services Administration to lease an ICE office in Hunt Valley?
Sean, we need to gather the facts. The county executive does not really have any idea what type of business will be conducted in this space. And I believe we're engaging in some panic politics, just trying to stir up some pro-illegal community for their own political benefit. So again, we need to be dealing with the facts, and it's unfortunate because this resistance posture that our local government has taken has left us without a seat at the table. So we are left guessing.
Yeah.
So we really need to have a discussion.
Well, she wrote to council members that it's time to consider legislation that establishes necessary and appropriate guardrails. So it seems like the guardrails apply to the illegal aliens, but not to law-abiding citizens and residents of Baltimore County.
Sure. I think it's noteworthy. Number one, when a federal agency does come into when a federal agency hires more personnel, that they need more space. So the ICE has hired 12,000 officers and agents. So it makes sense that they're going to need more space in our community.
Yeah, and especially since the governor is expected to sign the bill today banning cooperation with ICE in the 287G program. So that means now it looks like there's going to be more ICE officers coming into Maryland to remove illegals because we're no longer going to be cooperating with these ICE agents.
I think my number one priority is to support law enforcement. Every sheriff in Maryland that has a 287G agreement says it helps law enforcement. Once this agreement is void, we may have a Minneapolis public safety chaos situation on our hands. ICE will be searching in the community rather than for the illegals. It's going to create a dangerous situation for citizens, agents, and for everybody. And then you'll have some sort of retaliation from the federal government for not cooperating. And we have to remind ourselves that we're the number one, probably the number one state in the nation for the loss in federal jobs. We need these jobs.
Absolutely. All right, more with Pat Dyer. He's a Republican running for county executive this upcoming primary and in the fall. We're going to ask him about two more bills before the county council involving immigrant affairs in just a second. It's 8:13. Traffic weather on the threes. Now with the update, here is the king of all traffic, Chuck Whitaker.
We mentioned earlier this construction in Harford County, northbound 95 at Route 24. They get in there during the rush hour. They were blocking a lane. Apparently now in the backup that occurred because of that, there's an accident there. So heads up, northbound 76-mile marker on 95 northbound in Harford County. That would affect your ride after Mountain Road on the northbound side. We're still dealing with 25 to 30-minute delays southbound at both the harbor tunnels. JFX now got a little busy in the last 20 minutes or so southbound between Ruxt Road and the city county line. And pretty much all the normal delays are still in play with the fog as you're traveling along the Beltway. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast, cloudy today, high reaching into the low 50s tonight, overcast, upper 30s, and we're going to stay in the 50s all the way through Friday. We're expecting some rain. 35 right now in Glen Burnie. It's 35 in Middle River. Pat Dyer is running for Baltimore County Executive. He is a Republican, and he is on our Newsmaker Hotline. We're talking about this overreaction, really, by many of these county executives and county councils trying to keep ICE out of the state altogether. No, good luck with that. But county council has passed two bills, Pat. I want to get your reaction to one, both of them, actually. Bill 9725 seeks to establish and fund a Baltimore County Office of Immigrant Affairs, while Bill 9825 aims to ensure that all residents, regardless of their immigration status, have equal access to county resources and restrict federal ICE actions. So it seems like the county council, once again, is passing legislation to protect illegal aliens and also give them the same benefits that tax-paying, law-abiding citizens of Baltimore County currently have. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, these are bad bills, Sean. And I commend the Republicans on the council that voted against these bills. It seems unnecessary. It seems an overstep. And we should really, we're actually ignoring the victims of crime. And we need to keep our community safe. And that's my goal as county executive, to keep my primary goal is to keep our citizens and county residents as safe as possible. That's my objective.
What do you see the landscape being if you are county executive, Pat, and this bill banning cooperation with 287G? What alternatives would you might have in trying to work with federal agents regarding immigration?
Well, the sheriffs of all the counties will still utilize all the resources they can to effectively apply with these rules and regulations. I don't like any ban that's going to keep us less safe. It's unnecessary, and it puts all our citizens in jeopardy. And again, these dealing with these emergency meetings and this panic politics, I'm not a fan of, and it won't happen in my administration. Yeah. My administration, we're going to do everything we can to keep our county more responsive, more efficient, more effective. And make it the best county we could be. We should be focusing right now, Sean, on affordability. The cost of energy is just through the roof. We've got major problems with these potholes that are swallowing up cars. So we have so many other issues that are facing this county.
The other issue is education. And there's a report out today, Chris Papps of Project Baltimore, that Baltimore County graduation rates have now plummeted to a 14-year low. And he points out that it seems like Baltimore County Public Schools have been hiring more employees but losing teachers. I've been hemorrhaging. We've lost 500 teachers in the last 14 years. And I know this is a school board issue and so on and so forth, and the governor appoints seven members are elected on the county school board, and four are appointed by the governor. But what could you do as county executive to turn around these graduation rates in Baltimore County?
Sean, it's even worse than that. We're going to lose 47 assistant principals through attrition, and they could actually be fired. This has never happened in 20 years. The teachers that I talk to are appalled that this is a possibility. We need to restructure the way we teach our children and the way it used to be, where we want the best for all our students. And it's a possibility that some students need a little extra care, there should be a special spot for them. And teachers are willing to educate these kids. So, and when they're ready, we merge them back into the regular classroom situation. But we're going to lose 500 teachers, 47 assistant principals. The schools are going to be more crowded. They're going to be more dangerous. And it's an untenable situation for our teachers. I'm going to support our teachers. They are really, the morale of the teachers currently is at the lowest point that we've seen in years. It's really a tragedy what we're doing to our children. It's got to stop, Sean.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And we still don't know the final word on the state budget. We know what Governor Moore has proposed. It has not been finalized yet. There's only one third through the General Assembly. It appears that much of the cost shifting is going to go to the counties. So what are your thoughts if you end up with a big bill from the state in order to balance their budget? How are you going to reconcile that with the county's budget?
John, I agree with the current proposal from Ryan Milwaukee that we need an inspector general that's going to review the expenses of the school system. There, and I'm going to do everything I can to shift the focus to the students, not the bloated bureaucracy. So we need to make sure we need to have an inspector general that reviews the cost of a school system, gives me recommendations. I want to make sure that the money is to our students. That's our most valuable resource. We should cherish this resource. I want to make sure every child has every potential to be the greatest that they can be, and to make Baltimore County the best it can be, and they want to stay, live, and raise a family in Baltimore County. That's my ultimate goal. You know, this means a lot to me because I'm raising four children, and make sure they're properly educated, and that way they can be an asset to our county.
And final question, how do people get in touch with you, volunteer, donate, get more information on your platform, Pat?
Sure, Sean. I'm asking everyone to make an investment in Baltimore County. Go to patdyer.com, patdyer.com, and they can reach me. That would be great. I appreciate it, Sean.
Pat, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate that, and good luck. I'm sure we'll be talking again in the near future. It's 8:20, 20 minutes after the hour. Joining us now from the law offices of Michael A. Friedman is the lead counselor. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Sean, and everybody out there. We're going to talk about the difference between mediation and arbitration today. We hear these phrases a lot, and almost any contract that you sign includes an arbitration clause. Baltimore County and most of the counties surrounding us, when you file suit, there is mediation that is scheduled. And it almost always occurs you can get out of it by filing some paperwork. But basically, the court will supply a special attorney who specializes in mediation and give you a date by which you have to have the mediation. And the mediation simply is an opportunity to resolve the case. It usually tells us where the insurance company is in our case. We've got it valued, they've got it valued. Obviously, if we come in, for example, at $100,000 and they're at $20,000, the mediation is not going to help the process. If there's a question of liability, like we say we had the green light and they say they had the red light and there are a couple witnesses, obviously mediation is not going to be able to help that. But if we come in close, mediation can fill the bill and save everybody a lot of money. They get paid a couple hundred bucks, the mediators, per person, so it's really worth it. Now, if that doesn't settle the case, then you get to arbitration, which a lot of people are familiar with in contracts that they've done in business. In the arbitration process, it's more of a voluntary process. We pick, along with the lawyer on the other side, who we want the arbiter to be. And these are really special people. A lot of them are retired judges. They only hear arbitration. They are specialists in that regard. And a lot of them are really, really, really good. And there's a few of them that everybody kind of agrees are fair to both the plaintiff and the defendant. You use the arbitration process to end the case. That will be his decision is the end of the case. And you both agree that the arbitration is binding. In other words, that's the end of the ballgame. It's kind of like the arbitration for the ball players that we just had. If one player wants one thing and the team is going to offer something lower, they go to binding arbitration, and the arbiter can pick any number. He can pick from the beginning and from the end or from the middle, whatever he wants to do. So keep in mind the difference between mediation and arbitration. Mediation is good to work something out, maybe. Arbitration is binding and is the end of the ballgame. So any further questions on that or any litigation process, give us a call, 410-363-6848, the Law Office of Michael Friedman. We are there to help you stay safe out there. It's going to get up to 50. It's almost golf weather, Sean. we're getting there, pal.
Got to use colored balls, though, because of the snow.
Yeah, true. Listen, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Michael. Don't forget the website, maflaw.com. 823 traffic weather on the threes. Here's a man who's a colored balls expert, Buddha Johnson.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Your buddy Tommy. I saw Tommy Levin golfing the other day when it was snowing.
Yeah.
He was using like an orange or blue ball or something. What?
Well, you know, they've been looking for him for a while. They don't have a big enough net to fit his.
Yeah, right. The guys with the nets. I knew. I wanted you to clarify that.
You know, and if they did, what are they going to do with him? You know? put him in a vat and fry him up or something, maybe. I don't know. We're looking at the JFX just to make sure. With this fog, nothing major, but it's slow coming in from Ruxton Road to the city-county line. Now, if you're at Ruxton Road and Falls Road, there is now a water main break there, and they're alternating traffic on Falls Road, so you'll have to build in some extra time there. It'll be stop and go with a flag person. Make sure I'm correct. Flag person working there at the scene. Northbound 95, they do construction during rush hour. Apparently there was an accident in the construction back up 95 north, 76-mile marker in Harford County. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast, cloudy today, low 50s, overcast tonight, upper 30s, and looks nice the rest of the week as well. So get out and enjoy at least the warmer temperatures. Not much sunshine, but we'll have some warmer temperatures. 35 in Glen Burnie, and it's 35 in Parkville. And it's time, once again, for the birthplace of our Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem, Fort McHenry, Baltimore for America, 250 updates. And, of course, a reminder that America 250 is brought to you by the Smile Design Center. If you're looking for that perfect smile, call today 410-321-1100 for that perfect smile at Smile Design Center. On this date in history, it was one of the most interesting elections of all time in the U.S. 1801, the U.S. House of Representatives chose Thomas Jefferson as the third president of the United States after he and Aaron Burr had tied in the Electoral College. It took 35 House ballots before Jefferson eventually would win, and Burr became vice president. So that was quite the election. 1909, Apache leader Geronimo died while under military confinement at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. His grave remains there, despite later efforts to move his remains to his native Arizona. 1933, Newsweek magazine published its first issue. It now publishes strictly online. In a 2009, GM and Chrysler asked for an additional $14 billion from the government to keep from going bankrupt. That upped their total request to $39 billion. GM's still around, but Chrysler and parts of it were acquired by a foreign, I think it's an Italian company, if I'm not mistaken. Was it Fiat? I think it was Fiat. And that is America 250, brought to you by the Smile Design Center.
WCBM Baltimore.
Hi, Sean Casey here. If you're looking for a reason to smile again, visit the Smile Design Center in Lutherville. Dr. Lairfield will provide exceptional care with comfortable, friendly, chairside manner. They're using the latest technology, 3D printing, digital scanners, and lasers to make your dental experience faster, easier, and more precise. From simple cleanings to full smile makeovers, they handle all phases of dentistry so you can get your smile back in just a few visits. Call Nicole at the Smile Design Center at 410-321-1100 and visit smiledesigndoctor.com. Mention WCBM for a first patient special offer.
WCBM Baltimore.
And a couple of stories here for you just before we get to the bottom of the hour. Maryland Department of Transportation Authority has presented its final recommendation late last year for Alternative C when it comes to the expansion of the Bay Bridge. It would increase capacity from 5 lanes to 8 across the bay while keeping current lane configurations on the U.S. 50 301 approaches. The plan is estimated to cost between $15 and $18 billion, calling for two new spans, one south of the current bridge and the other between the existing spans before removing the old structures altogether. I don't see how that's going to help if we're keeping the same approach on both sides of the Bay Bridge, but that's just me thinking out loud. We shall see. 8:30, time for our latest news headlines. Once again with the update, here's Maggie Hunter.
Thanks. Good morning. Baltimore County Executive Kathy Klossmeyer has called an emergency county council session today regarding a possible ICE office in Hunt Valley. The General Services Administration has leased office space near the Hunt Valley Town Center, and Klossmeyer says while there is no word on how it will be used, the council should consider necessary and appropriate guardrails. The county executive says news of the lease has led to very real concerns for the community. City police say a 12-year-old and a 16-year-old are accused of committing an armed carjacking in Northeast Baltimore. The victim says she was approached by the juveniles Monday morning, and one of them pointed a gun at her before they both took off in her vehicle. Police located the suspects a short time later, and they were taken into custody. According to Fox 45, investigators believe the suspects are also responsible for an attempted carjacking earlier in the day. Both suspects were taken to juvenile detention and charged. Six people have been displaced by a fire in Westminster. The fire at the home on Pennsylvania Avenue broke out shortly after 2 p.m. Monday, and one person was taken to Hopkins Bayview with non-life-threatening injuries. The fire marshal's office says the home was equipped with a working smoke alarm, and the fire originated in a bedroom. And Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott is scheduled to announce the entertainment lineup for this year's AFRAM Festival. In addition, the mayor will be highlighting the significance of AFRAM's 50th anniversary. The mayor will be joined by other city leaders at 1 p.m. at the City Hall Rotunda for the announcement. AFRAM, which will return to Druid Hill Park, will return over Juneteenth weekend. It's 8:31 on Casey and Company. Coming up next, Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes.
Hi, Greg Talbot with Strategic Tax Resolution. Tax enforcement and defense strategies have changed a lot over the last year. After nearly 5 years, the IRS has restarted automated collections. You could be next for bank levies and wage garnishments. Ignoring the issue is not an option. Call 443-367-9000 to get protected. You have unfiled returns or can't renew your license? We work directly with the IRS and state so you don't have to. Let us use our proven strategies and experience with the IRS and state to resolve your tax issue. Qualified clients have cut their tax debt by more than 90%. How would that feel? Act now to learn the latest updates to tax relief programs. Your eligibility might not be the same. Strategic Tax Resolution, local, trusted, A-plus rated by the BBB. Call 443-367-9000. Ask for me, Greg Talbot. 443-367-9000. You've got a guy on your side. StrategicTaxResolution.com. Get relief.
8:32 on Casey and Company. Here's Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes.
The leftover slowing on the Beltway is still there. It's still backed up on the Parkville side, though it has improved coming over from Bel Air Road. Right now it's Hartford Road to Providence Road, the interloop through Pikesville, Reisterstown Road, Park Heights Avenue, Green Spring to the JFX. And the west side is still there. The usual stuff, anywhere from 795 all the way down through Frederick Road. Both the tunnels are still backed up. 25-minute delays at least on 95 southbound at Moravia Road. 895 backed up well beyond the bridge at Pulaski Highway. Keep in mind, in Baltimore County, there's a water main break. We may be down to a single lane at Falls Road at Ruxton Road. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your Fox 45 forecast. Big warm-up gets underway today. Mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low 50s. More clouds tonight with temperatures falling back into the upper 30s. Even warmer come Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Well, we can't possibly expect Trevor Rogers to duplicate the season he had in 2025. So what are reasonable expectations for the left-hander in 2026? Well, here he was after the season a year ago.
This answered a lot of questions for me. You know, a lot of self-doubt. And I always knew in the back of my mind that I could help this organization, and I just wasn't doing my job. And
2025, Rogers set numerous Oriole franchise season records, including a 181 earned run average, lowest of any Oriole pitcher, who logged at least 100 innings in a season. He also became the only starting pitcher in franchise history to allow two or fewer runs in 15 consecutive starts. Meanwhile, questions also surrounding his battery mate, Adley Rutschman, coming off the worst season of his career, appearing in only 90 games and batting just 220. What his focus was in the offseason.
I mean, a lot of it was just, trying to make sure that, I'm healthy. First year being on the IL, nothing worse than that. So
USA women's hockey team with another top-notch performance yesterday in Milano Cortina, taking on the Swedish national team.
That was blocked by Shelton. Puck comes to Megan Keller. Here's Layla Edwards. Edwards scores!
Kenny Albert with the call on NBC. Three goals in a three-minute span late in the second was the difference as the Americans blasted the Swedes 5-0, setting up a gold medal showdown with Canada on Thursday. Three people, including the suspected shooter, are dead and three people injured in a shooting yesterday at the Dennis M. Lynch Arena ice rink in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, during a high school hockey game. The names and ages of the victims were not immediately available, but this morning, NBC 10 in Pawtucket reported that one of the dead was the suspect's son. Pawtucket Police Chief Tina Concalves identified the suspect as Robert Dorgan, who also goes by the name of Roberta Esposito. Happy heavenly birthday today to one of the most unstoppable forces in pro football history, talking about the great Jim Brown of the Cleveland Browns, born on this day in 1936, passed away in 2023. And among today's terrestrial birthdays, arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan, six-time NBA MVP today, is celebrating his 63rd birthday. And on this day in sports history, we take you back 52 years ago to the day, September 17th, 1974, the great Richard Petty does something that no race car driver had done before.
And the checkered flag is out. Here comes Richard Petty.
And yes, the late, great Keith Jackson. Whoa, Nelly was on the call. Petty becoming the first driver to win back-to-back Daytona 500s. That was King Richard's fifth career win in the Great American Race. He would go on to win a record of seven. The time now is 8:37, and that is Stein on Sports.
Looking for the perfect shooting experience? Come to Free State Gun Range, the friendliest gun range in town. Don't forget to ask about our brand new gold and silver memberships. Enjoy unlimited range time, advanced lane reservations, and exclusive discounts on firearms, accessories, and training. Visit us right now and take advantage of our extensive inventory of firearms and accessories. Visit FreeStateGunRange.com or stop by today. Free State Gun Range. Shop, shoot, improve. Back to more of Casey and Company on Talk Radio 680 WCVM.
It's 8:37, 23 minutes now before the hour of 9 o'clock. Still to come here on the program. We'll take a look at mothers urging Governor Moore not to sign the 287G ban here in Maryland today. He's expected to sign it. And he is underwater on the energy crisis. And Republicans, if they could somehow get themselves organized, got to keep hammering away. Tom is in Parkville. He wants to weigh in on the Baltimore County IG bill. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Sean. Thanks for having Dyer on. That's a new person for me. He sounds pretty good. But when he mentioned his favor of the OIG bill, I think people should know what this really might be. Now, it's already been through the House, at least through the committee. But Senate bill, which I will be testifying on Thursday.
Now, are you talking about the statewide inspector general or the inspector general in Baltimore County? Okay, Baltimore County.
Brian Narwaki, specifically one of the sponsors of the House.
Okay,
bill.
Okay.
And this is Narwaki and David Marks and now I'm drawing a blank here. My own cat.
Wade Catch.
Mike Ertel. And Carl Jackson. These are all together on this. But here's the thing. I don't know if you had time, and I think most people haven't read the bill. All this is, I hate to say it, but it's a permission slip. What it does is it allows the county council to possibly, grant the inspector general the same authority over the county schools. But there's no teeth in that.
Right.
I use one pair of words. Kelly Madigan. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here's the problem with it. This is just in my opinion, and I will testify as such, this is a permission slip to perhaps do something. There's no oversight required. And believe it or not, you know, the IG really has no teeth. There's no subpoena power.
Right.
Okay? They can't discipline anybody. And long story short, unless the OIG is empowered properly, there will not be accountability. Now, another point. Even though they tell you that the teachers' unions are okay with this, well, of course they are. The minute they start sniffing around and they find something like that $60 million that was missing from city schools a number of years ago,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're just going to report it. And the teachers' unions will make that phone call to, by the way, you might want to drop that. And that's what's going to happen. This will not do it. I think this is an election stunt. There's no accountability. And it only provides what I had said. It has to be a real bill with mandatory, immediate, and enforceable independence. Without that, this is a garbage bill. And
I'm
probably a lone wolf.
I understand it's a legitimate concern. I have not read the bill myself. I'll now have to go back and read it. But if what you're saying is true, that the word may is used, that is toothless. The word shall carries a much stronger legal meaning. So that's a must. May is not a must.
The other little point of this, any action, of course, it doesn't take effect if it indeed passes until October of this year with any kind of affecting in the following year. So it's right after the election. You know, how convenient. it's just an illusion of reform. All they need to do is these electeds can say at the end, well, we passed oversight.
Yep.
Well, they didn't. So I thank you for letting me bloviate.
No, I appreciate you bringing our attention to it, and we'll look into it further and see if that wording can be changed, or if not, then you're right. It's going to be just basically election year, smoke and mirrors. Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. You have a great day. Mothers are urging Governor Moore not to sign the bill banning Maryland ICE 287G agreements. The mother of Kayla Hamilton, Tammy Nobles, as to she has a question for Governor Moore.
I don't know why he's protecting all these illegal immigrant criminals. He should be protecting citizens like Kayla. Where was he when Kayla was being murdered?
Yeah. Patty Moran, we'll hear from her in just a second. But Nobles went on to say that, do I have Tammy or? Okay. Right. All right. I'm sorry. I had my order out of, my numbers out of order here. She talks about the kinds of people, the monsters that murdered her daughter and Patty Moran's daughter.
You're sitting there, you know, protecting these criminals, and you should care about the community as a whole and protect the whole community from these monsters. We need to know, you know, who's a criminal and who's not.
Yeah. But you can see the monsters that murdered Kayla with a phone cord after brutalizing her. Rachel Moran, she was brutalized, tortured, raped, and stuffed into a culvert pipe. Dakara Thompson. And we just saw what happened to Todd Hines Jr. in Dundalk last month. Patty Moran, as you might imagine, that's Rachel Moran's mom, very angry.
She was brutally and horrifically murdered. I'm really so very angry that Governor Moore would do something like this instead of thinking about the families that have paid the ultimate price in losing their children, their mothers, and their children.
And Tammy said, Governor Moore and the Democrats have one job and one job only. That's to protect Maryland citizens.
The bottom line is we need to protect American citizens first. Our safety comes first.
But they don't care. That's why they'll pass. They're desperate to hold on to power. That's why they need illegal aliens in this state. They need them here. They need them eventually to be registered to vote, to hang on to their power. And they already have a supermajority in Maryland. So you can see just how vicious and evil this agenda is. 8:43, traffic weather on the threes. Once again with the update, the king of all traffic, Lugnuts Johnson.
Southbound I-97 right at the split at Route 32. Still backed up and it's still heavy coming down the hill from Benfield Boulevard. I can't really see any further south of that because of the fog and the camera, which is over the bridge at 178, pretty high up above the fog right now. And then the interchange at 50 and I-97 coming off the ramp southbound. That's clear, the ramp from 50 to go north on I-97. Backed up just a little bit through there. But all the slowing we had earlier at the Severn River Bridge is gone now, and that's back to normal. Some heavy fog still lingering around the Bay Bridge. And the leftover slowing on the Beltway, all of that is still there. Baltimore County with a couple of new accidents. Reisterstown Road at Owings Mills Boulevard. Stevenson Road just north of the Beltway might get a little bit tight through there. And the crews are working on a water main break. Heads up there at Falls Road at Ruxton Road. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the threes on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Fox 45 Weather Authority says mostly cloudy, low 50s today, overcast overnight, upper 30s tomorrow. Rest of the week, we'll stay in the 50s. Rain is possible on Friday. It's 35 in Columbia, 36 in Annapolis. And time for our feel-good news segment of the day.
I need some good.
Feel Good News brought to you by Town Appliance right off Reisterstown Road in Owings Mills for all your appliance needs. A man in New Jersey named Robert Schott didn't make a snowman. He constructed a snow ice cream truck entirely out of snow. And he's even selling ice cream from it with proceeds all going to the Children's Hospital Foundation. Here's Robert Schott talking about his snow ice cream truck.
My friend Rick showed me a picture of this and I said, oh, this is absolutely perfect shape. It's a 1953 Chevrolet Good Humor truck. Just was such a classic thing. And I think anyone from the era of Good Humor is going to have a warm spot in their heart for what they're going to see. And it lends itself to this opportunity to do a fundraiser. I'll have actual Good Humor ice cream bars. I'm selling them for $5 a piece. All the profit will go to the Children's Hospital.
That's just a great story. And it's something that I love to see. People use creativity and ingenuity to find different ways to try to appeal to people's better angels in order to give to charitable causes. Our Feel Good News brought to you by Town Appliance right off Reisterstown Road in Owings Mills for all your appliance needs.
Hi, it's Kim Klasick. When I think appliances, I think Town Appliance in Owings Mills. You're going to meet Mayor and Mayor, and they'll help you make the best choice. Whether you're remodeling or replacing, they'll guide you through all their brands, like like Electrolux and Frigidaire. Over 70 trusted brands to choose from. Whatever fits your style and budget, they will customize it just for you. This is a family-run store that actually treats you like family. Skip the big box chaos and take it from me. Once you walk into their showroom, be prepared to be amazed, like I was. TownAppliance.com. Powered by family, trusted by yours.
It's 8:47, 13 minutes now before the hour of 9 o'clock. By the way, we talk about, this is for, you know, Governor Moore. You just heard from mothers that lost their children, brutally murdered by illegal aliens who were in this country illegally, some who had been caught and released repeatedly. We had Todd Hines Jr., who was killed in Dundalk last month in a hit and run, again by an illegal alien. In Georgia, a teacher in Savannah was tragically killed after an illegal alien fleeing ICE agents crashed into her vehicle. ICE agents attempted to pull over Oscar Vasquez Lopez. He was previously issued an order of removal from the United States in 2024. After initially appearing to comply with officers, Lopez proceeded to evade officers and led ICE agents in a car pursuit. All right, so we have a special update on traffic. Chuck has got the latest for us. Morning, Chuck.
Morning. There's a new wreck here on the outer loop right at the ramp at 83. It's blocking the ramp from the outer loop to northbound 83. I haven't seen the vehicle yet, but there are at least four fire trucks here, and they have that ramp blocked. So that's the outer loop to northbound 83. Two lanes are getting by on the Beltway. Just occurred, so this is brand new on the top side right at the Towson ramps. And we'll come back in a couple of minutes and check on that. Thanks, Sean.
All right, thank you for the update. Appreciate that. And as I was saying, here we have... See, if you cooperate with ICE in the jailhouses, when people have been arrested and they're here illegally, or they've been serving a sentence and they're about ready to be released, and if you call ICE, you arrest that individual at the jailhouse. And it usually takes one agent, perhaps two at the most, to do that, versus sending, it's 16 to 1 out in the field. And then you got to send all sorts of support. And so when you get these people and they're in cars, they either attempt to flee, and sometimes they try to run over the officers, as we saw with Renee Good. So this teacher in Georgia who was killed, it's unnecessary if you hand over criminal illegal aliens in the jails. And that's what we're about ready to prohibit here in the state of Maryland today. Let's take a phone call from Al in Woodlawn. Good morning, Al.
Yeah, good morning. Hope you and your family doing well. I'm going to tell everybody out there how you can tell when Governor Moore is lying about something, Governor Moore or less. When he opens his mouth and starts talking. Now, he took an oath when he was sworn in as governor. He said his first priority was to, I think he said, was to make sure Marylanders lived in a state that was going to be safe. Sean, when I worked at the jail, when I worked in booking and receiving, they would tell us in roll call, you know, so-and-so is getting discharged out of our jurisdiction, you know, but ICE is coming to pick him up. And if I happen to be, you know, the discharging officer, and if ICE came to pick this person up, if I didn't have that person down there and ready to go over to ICE, you know, it would be repercussions.
Right.
On me. I mean, these agents come into these jails, they just want to get in, they want to get out, get to whoever they want to get, and they get back on the road. They don't want to hear an officer at the jail saying, well, I can't release him to you. You know, and then the officer's got to call the sergeant, his sergeant, then the ICE officer got to call, you know, his supervisor. I mean, it's going to be complete chaos. I mean, but Moore's on a roll. You know, he's getting ready to sign 287, but yet he can't sign a bill, you know, that says, we know we're going to keep these juveniles incarcerated instead of putting them, you know, back out in the street. I mean,
there's a pattern here, Al. That is criminal illegal aliens and juvenile thugs run free in the state of Maryland.
I mean, you know, first he said the FBI building was coming here, not. Then he said the Redskins were staying in PG County. That's not going to happen. I mean, it's just one thing after another with this guy.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
As President Trump says, he can't fix anything. Al, got to run.
Take
but listen,
easy,
you have a great day. You do the same. It's 8:51. We'll tell you about Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Tim takes that same approach that he has done for years for electrical work, interior, exterior, landscaping, and just to the commitment to service, the dedication, the excellence is just amazing to the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning component as well. So right now we're focusing on the heating because it's still cold. Get them out and schedule if you're having any problems with your heating system, be it heat pump or forced air, whatever it is, call Tim Kyle. They'll come out, take a look at it, make sure the filters are changed and everything's working efficiently. So I'm telling you, we're looking at these, we're opening up these BGE bills right now, and it's just shocking to many of us. So make sure your system isn't costing you more than it should. And as we move into springtime, same for the air conditioning. Call Tim Kyle, 410-876-9404, 410-876-9404, online, timkylecompany.com.
Inspiration grows here. The Maryland Home and Garden Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air. February 28th through March 1st and March 6th through 8th at the Timonium Fairgrounds Cow Palace. Find great deals, new ideas, and practical advice with more than 400 trusted local experts. See Craig Conover from Bravo's Southern Charm and Matt Blashaw from HGTV's Yard Crashers. Plus, stroll through seven blossoming feature gardens. Shop, compare, and save on kitchens, baths, flooring, and more at the Maryland Home and Garden Show. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
Need smarter office IT, print and marketing solutions? Explore DOCO's multifunction printers, Toshiba, Epson, Canon, Kyocera, and so much more to help your business needs run and grow. Serving Bel Air and Hunt Valley. Learn more at mydoco.com.
The Rob Carson Show.
It's our money. And while you and I suffered, they enriched themselves beyond our wildest dreams. They bought Bentleys. They lived in mansions while you and I worked three jobs trying to get through COVID. We might have some money in the bank when we retire, and we'll get a pittance from Social Security. Meanwhile, these guys got millions and millions of dollars for lying about feeding kids, for lying about autism, for lying about everything.
The Rob Carson Show, weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
8:53, traffic weather on the 3's final update. Here is the King, Chuck Whitaker.
All right, it's a late problem on the topside beltway. State Highway has turned the camera off. I don't know why, but that's their decision. The outer loop ramp, I saw it before they turned it off. The outer loop ramp to northbound 83 is blocked. Several fire department units there, so it's causing a massive backup right now. The traffic west of York Road over towards the JFX, you'll have room to get by. If you normally take the ramp from the Beltway to northbound 83, I would get off immediately at York Road, go up York Road to Timonium Road, and come back over to 83 from there. This is a second big wreck this morning. Got a tractor trailer turned over earlier on the outer loop, the exact same spot. And now we have this wreck. But, yeah, make your move back there at York Road. Get away from this backup. You have really no access right now to northbound 83. So York Road to Timonium Road and go around it that way. If you're going straight on the Beltway towards Pikesville, stay as far left as you can. I'm Chuck Whitaker with traffic and weather on the 3's on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
Fox 25 Weather Authority forecast. Cloudy today, low 50s right now, 36 in Ellicott City, 35 in Pikesville. Kim Klasick live coming up next right after the 9 o'clock news. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Sean. How are you?
We're doing good.
Good. I heard you talking about the latest in Boulder County Public Schools, how the rates continue to drop. We're going to talk to Chris Papps live here in studio today.
Good job. Great.
10 a.m. to 11.
Wow.
So it's
full hour.
Yes, we're going to do a deep dive. Of course, we'll talk about his latest book, outlining what's going on in Baltimore City school system. So we got Baltimore County.
Failure Factory, is that the name?
Yep. And I didn't realize he authored another book previously as well. So I just want to ask him a couple questions about that. But we're going to talk about, you know, just kind of like the drops in rates and then also the increases in spending. Because you see all this money going into the system, yet the results are just so poor. So,
I'm wondering how much of that is just not just the spending, but as the city folks flee the city and come into the county, how much of an impact that is having on our schools, as well as the illegal alien children.
That's a great point, because, you know, they are still even busing kids in from Baltimore City, and I know for a fact they're still busing them over to Kenwood and Stemmer's Run. So, you know, you have to wonder.
No, they're coming from one failure factory, right? And they're creating another one.
Exactly. So we'll talk to Chris Papps at 10 o'clock here live in studio, and anybody is requested to call in as well because he wants to answer questions. Obviously, we'll talk about the latest with the DHS Secretary. Mr. Lopez is resigning. Did you think it was really over health issues, Sean?
Well, apparently, he has a problem with alcohol. So
I did hear that.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think, you know, just last month he was defending him to Mackenzie Frost.
Yeah.
He's done a great job in reducing the snap error rate.
Which was really disgusting, by the way, because she brought up, I saw that interview, and she directly asked him about Kenia Ward, that, you know, passed in the hotel.
Right.
And right after she said that, he says, well, I'm looking at the total body of work.
Yeah.
The 60-year-old was found dead.
Well, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, but there was the foster kids and placed in with pedophiles and predators.
Over 10 kids.
There was the 100 and some in hospitals left, you know.
Just left there.
Just left there.
Because they have nowhere else to put them.
So
it's been disgusting.
It was broken.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Then also, did you see Stephen A. Smith is considering a run in 2028? Sean, what's your take? You think he's got a shot?
No.
Yeah. No.
No, the machine, unless he catches fire. Right now, the machine, the progressive machine wants AOC, and she just crapped the bed in Munich.
Oh, gosh, I saw that.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, there was multiple interviews where she sounded off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't she have a degree in, like, foreign policy?
I don't know if it's economics.
Oh, is it economics?
I thought it was economics.
Else. I got to take a look at that. Yeah. But yeah, she's not doing too well. But all that and more coming up next.
All right, stay tuned. Kim always has got a great show. By the way, Governor Moore, I think, is underwater when it comes to the energy crisis. Keep hammering away because he was asked about it at the CBS town hall just the other day.
People who are saying, I don't understand how my energy bill went from $250 to $800. It's not fair, though. We have not done enough to be able to really fortify the grid to get more energy options.
So now what he's basically patting himself on the back for the rebates, okay? The two $40 rebates last year and the $40 rebate this year, which all said and done, your bills have doubled and tripled and quadrupled in some cases. You're getting like maybe 80 cents back off on your PGE bill. That's going to amount to, it's like the tax cut he crowed about last year. Remember that? And then it would be, after all the vehicle increases, permits, and so on and so forth, it was a 50 bucks net or whatever the case may be. That's what he does. But he's crowing about this PJM cap that he allegedly negotiated.
We need more projects being greenlit. The second thing we called for was we want them to have a two-year cap on costs. That we want them to cut costs, cut the increase in costs for 2 years. Because they have got to understand their own responsibility in this.
That means we still suffer with the rates that we have now. The cap means you can't increase them, but that doesn't mean they go down. Here's what you need to lower your bill. The pressure has to be on Annapolis. Right now, almost one-third of your bill is extra charges on your bill that were inspired by Annapolis. The Empower charge, the Climate Solutions Now Act, Reggie, the closure of the last four power plants, the Brandon Shores issue. That adds up to about $155 a month on your bill, okay? So right now, subtract $155 off your monthly bill and see where it stands right now. That's what needs to be done. Don't buy this this chicanery and this gimmickry about the PJM cap. Put the pressure on lowering your bills now, not just the cap. All right, stay tuned for Kim. I'm back tomorrow morning. Dan Cox will be our guest, 6 a.m. here on CBM. God bless our troops. God bless America.
This is the right choice for Maryland. Talk Radio.